It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. All this in World War III. My God. Here we go. I'm kind of a little bit worn out. A lot of war watching going on. It happens to me every time we do something like this. It's the old journalist in me. I just sit there and absorb information. Trying to process and make sense of things. Oh, God. How are you? It is the 24th day of February, 2022. Welcome to the overture to the prelude to World War III. I hope it isn't, but it could be. Such a nice little planet. Oh, well. Oh, hi. I'm Robin. Little ray of fucking sunshine. Yeah. And, We got 3 hours to discuss all of this stuff this evening, and I hope we will have a vigorous conversation. What do you think of the idea? Let me refresh here and just see. Yeah, I'm still the only moderator in the chat room. What do you think of having a kind of roundtable conversation about what we've witnessed in the last 24 hours this evening? It's a little, if Sparky doesn't show, it'll be a little difficult to run a true front porch. But, well, by the way, if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza conversation that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like to be part of that, well, jump right in. Go to headon.live, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you never have before, and pop right in, and, well, you'll be mighty welcome. And we'll see where the conversation takes us. You'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Stockton, Leary, and Squeaky, and Anatole. I'd love to, I think I really would like to begin the second hour of the program. I'd like to get a bit of a roundtable going on because it's, we're in the middle of a mess. But anyway, Brother Deacon Asa telling me that Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan has the same Skype powers, but he's not there either. So that complicates matters even further. Anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks to our 24th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Pam in Washington State. Thanks to our dear friend Samson. Thanks to Josh. Thank you all for being part of the reason this program stays on the air with your kind gifts that you set and forget over at PayPal. Thank you. Thank you to Henry jumping in early because we've got an $1,160 fundraising goal and it's now down to $1,110. Thank you so very much, Henry. And I guess that will take care of that'll knock out the two challenges from yesterday and the day before. Three challenges, actually. Two from Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2 the Kangaroo. And one from Ralphs. Thank you. Thank you, Henry. So actually, that gets us down to... that gets us down to 1065. Sorry, ciphering. A little slow. Thank you. Thank you so very much. The fundraising goal is now 1065 to catch up with the week. We've been kind of goose eggy the last couple of days. We've so much to talk about this evening. It's not easy to watch a war unfold in Europe when, for good, you know, whatever mistakes were made, there was a concerted effort after the end of the Second World War to not let Europe descend into an abattoir again. But that seems to run contrary to the psychotic desires of Vladov Putler. See, we've already got a name. Yeah. And I think it would be beneficial to if we could talk about it. So we'll either, I'll just start. Maybe at the top of the hour we'll start talking and add voices to the conversation. Todd said earlier, do you see what the Orange Menace has done to the world?
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think this can happen without him. I mean, granted, big bad Vladdy Daddy. And you know, I can't watch all of this without thinking back several years to when there was an element in the so-called progressive wing that had developed a sort of a politico crush on Vlad Putin. There was somebody in our chat room once upon a time. You could not mention Vlad Putin without her gushing about what a wonderful, wonderful person he was. And I will never stop thinking that that was on purpose. Just do. And now we see, and you know, that was back. It was 2014 when he overran Crimea, and we didn't start the Second Crimean War. Just let him have it. But he wasn't content with it, because his overall goal is the reunification of the former Warsaw Pact Soviet bloc, you know, without the Soviet part, because authoritarian fascism is terribly, terribly, terribly fond of wealth. And I guess maybe that's what's behind the sanctions that were announced in the last few days and again today. Whether they'll work. That was her. That was her, Brother Deacon Asa. Anyway, I guess the sanctions are meant to hurt them where they live, i.e. their wallets. Just getting us started, I had a note from Scott in San Diego. Bubbling up in the boiling bag of my mind, my take on the Russian invasion of Ukraine, it's being framed incorrectly. They need to present it along the lines of the Coke versus Pepsi Challenge taste test from the 1980s. Select a panel of average Ukrainians to choose between invasion and democracy. Call it the Putin Challenge. Well, that's great, but when they sit down to do it, they're liable to get a cruise missile right up the ass. Because there were a lot of cruise missiles dropped on Ukrainian territories today. Hard to be real upbeat about this. And I'm probably not even going to fool much with trying to work on my voice. I've been doing that a little bit every day. I have a feeling that's kind of gone by the wayside today. But I don't know why. I was sitting watching coverage this morning when I saw the news that that Putin's boys had attacked Chernobyl. I'm sure it was pretextual. Well, they might be using it to build a bomb. And in the process, apparently, they destroyed the sarcophagus that covers up a vast, huge, massive radioactive waste dump which still has the potential to further poison Europe beyond what was already done. Okay, cool. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. The Skype link is up at headon.live. So if you, I'll try to make it work. But if you want to, have a conversation, a group conversation, I welcome that. I think it would be helpful. I think it would be beneficial. But the Chernobyl thing just gave me the fantods. It just gave me the creeping horrors. Because it's almost like using a nuclear weapon without using a nuclear weapon. Over at Democratic Underground, Ralph's provided this to me. Ukrainian-born journalist Larissa Alexandrovna of Democratic Underground and HuffPost wrote, "The Ides of March. Take all oligarch money, property, evict all of their spoiled brats from EU and American schools, suspend all travel visas, don't buy or sell anything to or from them, deny them medical treatment everywhere outside of Russia, don't let them land their planes or park their yachts, issue international arrest warrants for all of them, make it impossible for them to breathe as free men, then they'll take care of Putin. The oligarchs are the only ones who can stop Putin now, and he must be stopped. We know what he is. We've seen his kind before, and we did not act early enough. He's got nukes. And I'm no longer confident that we're dealing with a sane creature. Ides of March, no war, just a clean fix. Tell me I'm wrong." It is a thought provoking. It's a thought provoking take. It's also a dangerous one. You know, there were attacks within kilometers of the Polish border. One screw up. And hello, Article 5, game on. This is all just so weird. Kudos to Norway, as best as I can tell. Saw this earlier today. Norway boarded and seized an oligarch's yacht. And someone suggested, and I couldn't help but get a little bit of a smile. Somebody suggested we set fire to it and sail it into St. Petersburg. You know, Viking style. Billable Rick says, "Did you give yourself a cowbell for Vladolf Putler? If not, do so at once." I shall. Thank you. Okay, it's entirely derivative. I saw a picture, a line drawing of it, of Putin. It was Putin's face, but it had the stupid Hitler haircut and the stupid Hitler mustache. And it just said Putler under it. And then it took me a minute to realize that Vladolf actually works pretty well. And the idea that he's invading Ukraine for denazification, oh my God. Oh, reminder, by the way, I will be filling in for the one and only Mike Malloy this evening and tomorrow. On Malloy Show on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. I hope you'll be there at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. My personal take, Brother Deacon Asa says, given Russia's pitiful track record, I doubt if Putin can deliver his nukes anywhere past a few blocks away from Moscow. We should call the little man's bluff. Well, he's already threatening that if any of the European states intervene, that it'll be the worst thing they've ever seen. If he'd grow himself a little bit more of a bushy mustache and grow a little more hair, he could be Saddam Hussein promising the mother of all battles. Everybody wondering just what this actually means. Randy Radar saying Ukraine may be practice for Putin for something bigger. Well, what he wants is Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Ukraine, Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic. He wants the old Soviet bloc brought back together. And why? Well, because Russia itself, Mother Russia, is an economic mess. It's a disaster. It's not even really an economy. It's a gas station. And Putin's standing there in the blue serge suit with the nickel squirter. But I am in agreement. Start seizing shit. Pootie needs to grow a Ted Cruz beard in order to look tougher. Okay, Brother Deacon. That's a cowbell. I didn't know the beard made Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, look tough. I thought it just hid his lack of a chin. But point taken. So by all means, you know, does this mean privateering is back in fashion? Yarr! Where's me cutlass? But maybe Larissa Alexandrovna has a point. How many Russian oligarchs do you suppose there are with condos in South Florida? Send them home. Not saying round them up and put them in camps, but, you know. Send them home. Gotta go. Your boss isn't playing nice. You can no more warm sunny days for you. Maybe you can get Xi Jinping to let you have a little condo somewhere in the warm parts of South China. Okay, so make sense of this, please, asks Megan. I've been trying to figure out why I've had the Dark Knight soundtrack in my head all day watching coverage of this. It wasn't until your program that I realized this seems less like Hitler invading Europe and more like the Joker has the controls. If you can make this make sense, please do, because I can't. Well, I think there's an element of truth to what you're saying, Megan, because... Say what you. Yeah, that's true. Forget about South Florida, Robin. Let's seize those those apartments at Trump Tower. That could be fun. I'm being a bit flippant, but no, Megan. What you're sensing there is the ruthless efficiency of the Third Reich compared to the sort of hit or miss nature of Russian. Bellicosity. This looks fairly organized, but by the same token, what's running in the background, what some of the reporting has indicated, I was talking with Chris in Germany about it earlier today. Among other things, there are reports coming out that Putin's troops are absolutely eaten up with the Rona. Because remember, the only thing they've been inoculated with is a little blast of old warehoused Putinka vodka that's been rebranded as the Sputnik vaccine. And I can almost work up a little bit of a sad. I mean, do you remember? You remember the Chernobyl miniseries? I forget what. I forget which platform had it, but it was tragic and it was horrifying. In the immediate aftermath of that disaster, you know, the firefighters who walked in knowing they wouldn't walk out. Then there was I think Harrison Ford was in it. It was kind of oddly cast. KN-95, the Widowmaker. About the Soviet submarine that went to sea too early and had a little meltdown. Nuclear submarine. And there was that horrifying scene there as well of the... it was on Netflix, Chernobyl was. Okay, thank you, Brother Deacon. HBO ran Chernobyl, says Scott in San Diego. I think I finally saw it on Netflix. But the thing is, I can almost work up a sad for the Russian troops who were forced to... Wait a minute. We're attacking what? We're attacking where? Chernobyl. CT Alpha 6. CT Alpha 6. Gone. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. I mean, that place still glows in the fucking dark. Chernobyl. But somehow or another, the Ukrainian resistance knew they were coming that way. And I guess, and that's the other side, they have made the soldiers from Mother Russia bleed for what they're taking or trying to take. A little bit of breaking news, completely separate topic. Probably good. I mean, what I mean by probably good, the news is good. It would be beneficial for us to realize that that other things do continue despite all of this. You know, the overture to the prelude to World War III. The Washington Post reporting about 9 minutes ago, three former Minneapolis police officers who were at the scene with Derek Chauvin as he pressed his knee into George Floyd's neck were convicted of violating Floyd's civil rights in a case that is likely to increase scrutiny over how officers are trained to intervene with rogue colleagues. So J. Alexander Kung, Thomas K. Lane, and prosecutors said that they knew he was in danger of his life while Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck. They heard him begging for his life. And they stood there and watched him die instead of pulling Derek Chauvin off of him. The trial has gone on for a month. And the jury deliberated for about 13 hours. And then they, in this federal trial, they found Kung, Lane, and Tao guilty of violating George Floyd's civil rights because they failed to render any medical aid to him. Kung and Tao are also found guilty of failing to pull Chauvin off of George Floyd's neck. Next up is the state court trial for the three. It was, and I guess this is a little bit, at least, helpful. The jury was 8 women and 4 men, as the Washington Post reports, who appear to be mostly white, who made the decision. Closing arguments ran 6 hours on Tuesday. And, as I noted, they will go to trial in June on the state charges of aiding and abetting murder. I wonder if that's before the fact or after the fact. Prosecutor Amanda Sertich, during closing arguments, said these defendants knew what was happening, and contrary to their training, contrary to common sense, contrary to basic human decency, they did nothing to stop Derek Chauvin, did nothing to help George Floyd. You know it because you've seen it. Talking about how many times the jury had seen the shot in real time video of the murder of George Floyd. I'm sure there will be an appeal, doubtless, but for the moment, let us be glad that the jury did something resembling justice. Hell, back to Ted Cruz's beard. Oh my God, I can't believe this is turning into a topic. You people. Yeah, I just you people do. Christopher Norgan says, not sure if Ted's Pepe Le Pew beard will make Tiny Pootie tougher as much as tougher on the old schnoz. Can only imagine what's living in stinky Ted's growth. Oh, ew. Well, there went dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. That's Raffaellito's booger stash. See what I did there? The double entendre use of the word stash. Not proud of it. Not at all. And of course, getting us started today, subject line, invasive pigs. Jeffrey commences the court today.
Back on this day in 1803 in its Marbury versus Madison decision, the Supreme Court established judicial review of the constitutionality of statutes. Really, who gives a damn about the constitutionality of a damn statute? All these crackers in the court must have known that statues of such horrible people as Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee would someday be challenged.
Daddy.
Oh, Junior.
Marbury was all about the constitutionality of statutes, not statues.
Well, damn it, I usually like things that are high, but this high ought to be doing some judicial review on Judge Thomas's wife, Jenny, and do some discovery on her involvement in the busing program that brought a bunch of insurrectionists to Washington, D.C. on January 6th of 2021.
Yeah, since when are Republicans in favor of busing anyways?
Oh, that Junior, he's getting quicker and quicker. Putin has now, Joey writes, on this the 24th day of February 2022, officially invaded Ukraine. Turns out this is a big day for Russia, as on the 24th of February 1942, a Soviet submarine torpedoed the SS Struma, a charter ship attempting to carry nearly 800 Jewish refugees headed from Romania to British-mandated Palestine in the Black Sea, with all but one of the refugees being killed. And speaking of ships, here's Joey Two, the kangaroo, with her thoughts of the day.
On this day in 1875, the SS Gothenburg hits the Great Barrier Reef and sinks off the Australian east coast, killing approximately 100, including a number of high-profile civil servants and dignitaries.
And Jeffrey, meanwhile, has a civil survival thought.
I'm very sorry for the loss of those 100 souls that died in the ship that crashed into the Great Barrier Reef, but right now I'm more worried about the actual life of the greatest coral reef on Earth, as it appears global warming has killed a lot of the largest barrier reef.
Yeah, the largest coral reef is dying. Wow, that's a lot of reef grief.
Ah, yes, Junior. We're hoping the largest coral system can soon have a real reef revival.
Dear God, the things that... reef revival.
Also, on this day in 1888, Louisville, Kentucky becomes the first government in the United States to adopt the Australian ballot, i.e. secret ballot on standard voting forms. Now, if the police in Louisville, Kentucky would only have adopted the Australian federal police policy of how to handle a no-knock warrant and when and how to use their pistol, maybe Louisville would not have a moron cop like Brett Hankinson taking target practice in apartment complex.
Oh, good shot, Joey Two the Kangaroo.
Thank you.
And for what it's worth, speaking of invasions, on this day in 1991, a ground troop invasion of Kuwait and Iraq was initiated by the U.S. The decision was made after 6 weeks of bombing against Iraq.
Yes, I think the potentate, is in for a big surprise with his unprovoked, ill-advised invasion of Ukraine. He may have to eventually flee to Mar-a-Lardass or St. Petersburg, Florida, rather than St. Petersburg, Russia. I really do not see this ending well for the people of Russia, and hopefully this potentate will bear the brunt of this malicious, misguided attempt to become an imperialist pig. Yes, I really hope this takeover of Ukraine will Stalin out.
Shame of it all, Stalin. Yeah, good job, Jeffrey. As you well know, I refer to these white racist bigoted killers of black men as animal crackers. Yesterday we mentioned the sad second anniversary of the Ahmaud Arbery lynching, and also on the 23rd of February, the 23rd anniversary of Robert Byrd Jr. in Texas, who was savagely dragged behind a pickup truck to his lynching death, not to mention the 10th anniversary of Trayvon Martin's lynching this Saturday, the 26th of February. With February being designated Black History Month, I hereby suggest that the last week of February be designated as a week of remembrance for all of those African Americans who have been lynched and slain by the mindless minions of evil.
Well, Joey, I really do not like the term animal for these crackers. As a giraffe, I am an animal, and most animals I know would never kill just out of hatred and malice. Most animals kill for preservation and survival, not just to kill another living being out of prejudice. I, being a giraffe, spend most of my time eating the leaves from the higher branches of the trees. I'm a vegan.
Yeah, this has been Joey's Journal for Thursday, the 24th of February, 2022, with Giraffe experiencing a great moral grief for the people of Ukraine. $10 great moral grief challenges on the table. And that would get us down past 1065, 1045.
And thanks so much to Cecilia. Actually, we're at 10:55, so that would get us down to 10:35 as we try to finish up and make sure that the bills get paid to keep the program going into March of 2022. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. Thank you, Junior. Thank you, Joey, too. You know what I think, Scott in San Diego says, as a kid magician, one of the first techniques one learns is the art of misdirection. That seems to be what's going on with the Pootster. I think I heard the entire nation of Russia's gross national product is less than that of the U.S. state of Texas. Who, by the way, are governed by a guy who, as we discussed last night, shares a lot in common with Pootie. Two of the worst places on earth to be a member of the LGBTQ community, and particularly trans, are Mother Russia and Texas. His country, Pootie's, is in the toilet economically, socially, and spiritually, too, if you ask me. Oh, and by spiritually, I'm not talking about religion. I mean the essence and mindset of anybody there who isn't an oligarch, is battered and beleaguered. I doubt if we ever get the chance to hear the true feelings of Russia's Vox Populi. But I bet if they were free to speak to Western reporters, they're done with Putin, but aren't in a position to do anything about it. So this invasion is little more than misdirection, and not very effective misdirection at that. Well, we are hearing some of the voices of Russian people. I caught an interview earlier today with sort of a woman on the street from, I think, Keir Simmons in Moscow, who was interviewing folks on the street, and one woman said, "This is a horror for me. My partner is a Ukrainian citizen. I'm Russian. And I don't know what's going to happen now." And then what happened in the United Nations after Putin's pre-recorded declaration of war was run? The Ukrainian ambassador to the UN looked the Russian ambassador in the eye and said the following.
"All some members of this council to meet as soon as possible to consider the necessary decision that would condemn the aggression that you launch on my people. There is no purgatory for war criminals. They go straight to hell, Ambassador."
That's clever. You don't get to just say you go straight to hell in the UN. So he couched it in religious terms. Sergei Kislytsia, the Ukrainian ambassador to the UN.
"They go straight to hell, Ambassador."
"I wanted to say in conclusion that we aren't being aggressive against the Ukrainian people, but against the junta that is in power in Kiev. There are no more speakers on the list. This meeting is adjourned."
Because the Russian ambassador to the UN had the gavel. How's that for timing? Wait until the rotating chairmanship of the Security Council rolls around to Mother Russia, who is only there as a permanent member because of negotiations following the Second World War, plus the fact that they got the bomb. Otherwise, they're just a little pissant country that we wouldn't pay any more attention to than we'd pay any attention to any other little, let's see, what's the term that... major domo of Mara Lardass was shithole country. That was Vasily Nebenzia. And we are not attacking the Ukrainian people, he said.
but rather the junta that's in control. You know, their Jewish president of Ukraine. And, of course, the Nazi excuse. Well, I guess we can see where, we've talked about it at length, the presence of Nazis in the Ukraine. But you know what? There's Nazis in Sweden. There's Nazis in Norway. There's Nazis in Finland. There's Nazis in Germany. There's Nazis in France. There's Nazis in Italy. There's Nazis in Spain. There's Nazis in Portugal. God knows there's Nazis in Hungary. Because they have been fostered and grown like hothouse flowers. And by whom? Yeah. The Russian ambassador in his shabby suit. Jesus. I need an explanation, says Ron in Raleigh. I'm a little confused. It seems that a large swath of the Republican Party now favors Russia. What I don't understand is that if Little Miss Three Names calls AOC a little communist, wouldn't that suggest that AOC is on Putin's side? No. Putin's not a communist. If she is, doesn't that suggest she's on the same side as Marjorie Taylor Greene, Mike Pompeo, Donald Trump? I'm asking for a confused friend. Well, confused friend, I get your point. But the problem is, Pootie isn't a commie. Pootie just happens to have learned his trade and his statecraft and his thuggish larceny during the thuggish larcenous days of the Soviet Union. But I get your point. And by the way, we have a Little Miss Three Names sighting today. Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. I've seen it also on Fox News. Randy Radar says, go to commercial, quick! I know. It looks like something north of 160 missiles were launched into Ukraine in the last 24 hours or so. Yeah, as Greg says, those Nazis in Sweden, etc., aren't taking up arms against their governments like they are in Ukraine. They've marched. They have not successfully fomented a coup. They are not in charge of the government. They march just like Alternative für Deutschland marches in Germany. And let's be clear, a Nazi is a Nazi is a Nazi is a Nazi. Remember Anders Breivik in Norway? How many children did he slaughter at a summer camp? Dude was a Nazi. Memory. So there's that. I said we've had a Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball sighting. Yeah, well, she showed up on the program run by Alex Jones. Yeah, you may recall she complained at one point, people treat me like I'm crazy. I know, I was kind of on the same wavelength, Flavio. We'll get to Miss Three Names in a second. Flavio says, as horrified as I am at Putin's naked aggression, it's hard to escape the thought that given Iraq, Afghanistan, etc., the U.S. somehow can't talk about naked aggression. I wish the leader of the free world were Iceland or Sweden or some other nation that hadn't gratuitously and repeatedly attacked other nations unprovoked. Otherwise, I strongly condemn Putin and his fellow travelers here. I think we can take the otherwise off of that. We did get out of Afghanistan. Never should have gotten in, but we did get out. We sort of got out of Iraq. Never should have gone in, but we did get out. And you know what? There's a substantial contingent of Americans who, let us not forget, were right all along about both of those wars. I happen to be one of them. This community, this Horn Family Community Congregation happens to be collectively another. We knew it was a disaster from the moment when W started babbling about, he tried to kill my daddy. And the fact that George W. Bush decided to add his voice to the condemnation of Putin today was
not helpful.
Oh, well. But just the same, I understand the dis-ease that you feel about it, Flavio, but we kind of have to deal with these things on an ad hoc basis. I mean, we got plenty of stuff in the United States of America that are embarrassing. We have living proof practically every day that we have so much more work to do, but we can do the work. There is at least space in this country to try to make things better. That space does not exist in a place like Mother Russia. Vlad Putin either leaves feet first of natural causes, or feet first because the money started hurting too much. People get really sad when the money hurts. If he ain't a commie, Ron and Raleigh asked, well, then is the government system of the Russian Federation not communist? It is a neo-fascist authoritarian tyranny. The Russian Duma has no power whatsoever. Their only job is to say, yes, boss. The only job the Russian Duma has is to ask how high and how green when Putin says froggy. Now, whatever complaints we may have about this government, you can't say that, because if Joe Biden had that kind of power, we'd be building bridges and roads. We'd be adequately paying child care workers. We'd be doing all kinds of magnificent things, but the Congress is real, especially when Republicans and people like Joe Manchin are running things. Flavio adds, I was on Library Mall in Madison, Wisconsin, protesting the U.S. invasion of Iraq. There were so few of us. Yeah, I know. And I remember the names we were called. I was criticizing our war of choice, our attack on the innocent people of Iraq, on air in America's fifth smallest radio market. And back in the day, I was nicknamed Bob Al-Kinkaida for simply suggesting that it was wrong to attack a country that hadn't done a damn thing to us. Randy Radar, seeing outside beyond the boundaries of what we're doing or what Russia is doing now. Afghanistan is now resource poor. What probably will happen is that Afghanistan's new government will have to sell all of its natural resources to U.S. and U.S. allied business interests, which was the plan all along. Yeah, no, I don't think so. They're a lot closer to China than they are to us. And China comes in with so-called soft power. And they're not going to, we recently said that we would release half of the money, the Afghan assets, we would release half of those assets to Afghanistan to get into, try to get it into the hands of people who actually need money so they can not starve to death. But the other half we're going to give to the victims of 9/11. When there were precisely zero members, zero citizens of Afghanistan on those planes that flew into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and corkscrewed into the ground outside Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Not one Afghan. But we've got a bit of a hang up, and it's understandable, about giving money to the Taliban when we've already left them so much laying on the ground.
It was a bit back, but maybe this actually works in this context. I hope I've still got it. Maybe I X'd it out thinking I would never get around to using it. Angelina Jolie read statements from Afghan women detailing the hell that they now live in with the Taliban. Oh, I guess I've lost it. Well, hell, Ron in Raleigh says, that won't fit on a bumper sticker. Could you tighten up that system name? Fascists. Dictatorship. And even that may not work because the ancient meanings, you know me, I know not just the current meaning of the word, but the ancient one. We talked about that a little bit in discussion of another slur a couple of days ago. Tyrant and dictator, once upon a time, weren't necessarily bad words. They were just a form of leadership one selected in times of great crisis. A dictator is merely a person whose word is law. So, too, with a tyrant. I don't know how that works out in Russian. No, Little Miss Three Names, getting back to her for a moment. Aunt Lee in New York said, she said people treat her like she's crazy. I didn't think she was that self-aware. Wow. I know. But Newsweek had a report earlier this week about an appearance that Little Miss Three Names had on the program run by Alex Jones. And it was 4 days ago. And she was all head up about a summer camp in California. God, I'm looking at a photo of her right now wearing a red ventilated trucker hat, red front, M-A, and then the G in the University of Georgia logo, G-A. There was a science camp. Some of the counselors were biologically male. What they were was non-binary, and they used they, them pronouns. And there were girls in the bunkhouses along with the non-binary people. Well, this, of course, occasioned a conniption. Everything occasions a conniption with Little Miss Three Names.
Absolutely. We have to get them out of their position.
MTG in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
That sounds better than DJT. Who knows? Maybe she'll be his vice presidential candidate coming up in a year. But she's running for Congress right now. Keep her in there.
Really? The devil went down to Georgia? Really? Good God.
Heads.
And that's where you wanted to go next. And I happen to have a giant stack of news. So let me just read a few headlines because you can't make this up. This is from KTLA. Okay, that's one of the biggest stations in the country.
KTLA.
Get ready for this. Outraged parents demand answers after non-binary male counselors were allowed to sleep in fifth-grade girls' cabins at school-sponsored camp event. There's video.
Video, damn it. There's video of people sleeping. Oh, my God.
Of biological men sleeping with the fifth-grade girls. It gets worse. Facebook LGBT activist caught in alleged child sexting operation flying to Indiana, number 4 at Facebook to have sex with a 13-year-old. This one, trans swimmers face off in Ivy League. We told you, just it'll all be men in women's sports.
All of them. Every last one. There won't be any women left in women's sports. Oh, well, I don't want to put anybody off their dinner, but what she went on to say, first off, if I was a parent and my fifth grade daughter had to sleep in shired in some kind of cabin at some kind of summer camp that I paid money to send my child to, and there was a man calling himself a woman sleeping in her cabin, which, no, they were non-binary, but Little Miss Three Names doesn't know that, shiring with her, that guy, he'd be in jail. First off, my husband would have beat him into the ground, then he'd be in jail. But this is exactly how we need to stand up against his stuff. Of course, this is the same attitude they take in Putin's Russia. Not to put too fine a point on it. Now, there's no evidence that anybody showered with anybody. Except, you know, the fifth grade girls showering. But camp counselors do tend to stay in proximity to their little charges. Scott in San Diego noting, Alex Jones's giant stack of news. That's not a stack, Alex. It's a steaming pile. Hint, you can tell by the flies flying air circus maneuvers around it. Okay, that's good. So, you know, it goes on and on and on. The attacks against non-cishet normies. And never mind the fact that among the highest rates of victimization from assault and rape, well, that's the trans community. Parents are still freaking out in Texas, which resembles Moscow on the lukewarm waters of the Brazos River, I suppose. Lord, we are thoroughly divided, aren't we? But back to the more immediate concerns. How about the guy vying to be the dumbest person in the Senate? And he's got a lot of competition. I mean, there's Marsha Gedness Blackburn of Tennessee. She's dumber than a handful of hammer handles. There's Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who wouldn't, if his brains were gas, wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ants motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB. But then there's Tommy Potato Farm. Ville, of course, meaning farm, and tuber, potato. Tommy Potato Farm, the junior senator from Alabama, he's trying to explain why it is that Putin has invaded Ukraine. He gave an interview to 1819 News. 1819, of course, named after the year that Alabama became a state. He said, he can't feed his people. Which is a damned interesting thing to say, given the fact that there's a boatload of exports of grain and such. And this was another one of those moments when I just remembered things that have been on my mind for damn near two decades. I think it was 2004, and I was still on the air in America's fifth smallest radio market. And there was a story about the fact that we'd sort of crossed a line, because it was about then that the United States became a net importer of food rather than a net exporter, that we were importing more food than we were sending out. He can't feed his people. It's a communist country, so he can't feed his people, so they need more farmland. No, really. A sitting United States senator elected to office in 2020 and the Soviet Union having fallen nearly 30 years before or having fallen 30 years before, not having been communist since then, well, Tommy Potato Farm, Mr. Potato Head, I guess, thinks that Russia is still communist. But that wasn't all that was on his mind. No. He went on to attack the Secretary of Defense. I'm tired of hearing about how we need to change our military to where they're woke, to where they need to listen to the federal government. And we need to educate them on things that have nothing to do with the military. Secretary Austin, we need a killing machine. Not that we want to kill anybody. What do you want the military to do, Mr. Potato Head? But people know that we will kill them if they come here and if they mess with us. Honey, the last time somebody came here and did anything to you, your great-grandparents were Confederates. You don't remember that big barbecue, honey? Get that sentence. We need to change our military to where they're woke, to where they need to listen to the federal government. It's the United States military, Mr. Potato Head. They're oath sworn to listen to the federal government. This is not the Army of Northern Virginia or the 44th Alabama Cavalry, dumbass. Educate them on things that have nothing to do with the military. Anti-Nazism. Anti-racism. Apparently, Mr. Potato Head thinks that the U.S. military is lily white. I mean, how can you be that goddamn dumb? And still manage to, like, tie your own shoelaces. I mean, he said that out loud. Megan says, great going, Alabama. You had Senator Doug Jones and you traded him in for Mr. Potato Brains. What percentile is the state of Alabama in education? That would be 49th. Thank God for Mississippi. Isn't this also the guy who said the three branches of government were the House, the Senate, and the President? Yeah, same guy. Also the same guy who got busted on an insider trading scam and was and had the bejesus find out of him by the SEC. Real genius. The article is called Tuberville reflects on first year in office, addresses situation with Russia. And the photo that accompanies the article makes him, he looks like he just squeaked out a little fart and is kind of proud of the fact that nobody noticed. He had addressed the Montgomery Area Chamber of Commerce to, in the words of the 1819 News, give essential updates from Washington, D.C. And it was a packed crowd. And he said, I'm proud to be one of your United States senators. It's been an honor this first year to go to Washington, D.C., into the circus, I call it, because every day there's something different, and it's not three rings. It's about four or five rings of a circus. Hopefully we can get more done this coming year than we did last year. We got more people to screw. And, of course, because memory. Well, do you recall how Tommy was huddled under a desk in the Senate while his people were attacking constitutional governance in the new United States, and Donald Trump called him and he said, my God, Emperor, no, I ain't Mike Lee. Here, I'm handing the phone to Mike Lee. He said, I didn't know how bad D.C. was till I got up there a year ago. One thing I wanted to do when I got there and needed to do, it was imperative, is follow in the footsteps of Richard Shelby. Well, then you can turn coat and change parties. That was what Richard Shelby did, traitor. And there were some remarks about the Rona. And he claimed that he was positively instrumental in keeping Alabama ahead of the coronavirus, except for the fact that Alabama ain't and never has been. Now, we hope we can get this behind us soon, but it's going to be here a while. I'll tell you that right now. I was at a WHO meeting. That Pete Townsend, he can still play a lick. No, I was at a WHO meeting in Munich this past weekend. We got another strain coming. It's called BA1. Kind of like Omicron, but less than that, you get sick, but it's not as lethal. It's going to be here a while. We just got to continue to fight it, but we got to get back to work. We got to get back to school. We got to get back to church. We got to get to the federal government out of our lives and let the people of this country run their own lives. Tommy? And again, this article was published on the 24th today. And it refers, like I said, to a Chamber of Commerce address that happened this week. And Tommy the Tuber has just figured out Omicron. And he said there's 100,000 available trucking jobs in the U.S. A lot of them are quitting because of vaccine mandates. I hope it don't get out of hand. But we got truckers coming to D.C. Yeah, one of those guys lined up a convoy and up in, I think, Pennsylvania, and the only truck that showed up was one that had two flat tires. I wouldn't care if they shut down the government for about 8 months till November, because we're in the minority right now. They do not want people telling them they got to take a shot. And I don't, but what does that mean, take a shot? That's kind of ominous. And I don't blame them, because you own your own body. Really? Any other bodies you want to own there, Tommy? It's going to be a tough time for the next year if we don't get the vaccine mandates under control, the mask mandates under control, our supply chain under control, and get people back to work. Well, we don't need to get the virus under control. We just need to get the response to the virus under control. And then he said he'd had a personal conversation with the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. Now, it might be handy to recall that Volodymyr Zelensky was literally a comedian before he was president of Ukraine. He was so popular in Ukraine for his political comedy show that they decided they might as well let him be president. And they elected him president. And he said, President Zelensky personally told me that they don't need boots on the ground. They just need weapons and supplies. Number one problem this year world is China. Their economy is past ours. Their military is past ours. And they're getting ready to move just like Russia is moving across the world. We've been sanctioning Russia since 2014, since they come into Crimea. Sanctions don't help. We're getting ready to put sanctions on Russia, and every day Joe Biden buys 500,000 barrels of oil from Russia. Now, how in the hell can you put sanctions on somebody and you're buying stuff from him? We bought 232 million barrels of oil from Russia in Joe Biden's first year. How many did we buy? Never mind, don't. We have to get back to being oil independent. So he wants that same $100 a barrel oil that Putin wants. See how it works? Same, same, different accent. The article closes with Tuberville is in his first term in the Senate. I think it would have been more editorially accurate if the article had ended, Tommy Tuberville is among the most stupid people in the Senate. What the hell was wrong with Alabama? But no, they're not going to do that. No, hell no. So anyway... We're trying to work our way down to past, well,
maybe work our way. You know, if we could do like $300 or something tonight, well, actually $366. If we could raise that, we wouldn't have a $1,000 fundraising hole tomorrow for Friday on the front porch. But we got a front porch now, and we are all connected and whatnot. And I just wanted, like I said, the first day of the overture of the prelude to World War III seems like it calls for a group discussion. We're all gathered around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Sparky, being a third stage guild navigator, has the lightsaber. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Robin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm busy today.
Sorry about
that. I didn't know there was going to be a Thursday porch.
Well, I didn't either. It just sort of occurred to me at the last moment. But if you need to pass the lightsaber to Steve, that's cool.
No, I don't. But we're getting shit done.
Okay.
My minion's over here today.
Oh, nice. Lovely. How's the minion?
Oh, he's doing good. 16 years old now, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's mind-blowing.
He took me out to breakfast this morning.
Oh, how sweet.
So I ordered steak and eggs.
Damn right you did. So are you a rare, medium well, or well-done guy?
Medium rare.
Good. It always breaks my heart to hear somebody say, well done.
No, I don't do that. But the only thing that got me is he put ketchup all over his eggs and hash browns.
Yeah, I know. That can be a little bothersome.
Have you seen that commercial where the girl just dumps ketchup all over everything?
Yeah, I have.
It was kind of like that.
Yeah, maybe he'll grow out of that. Not that there's anything wrong, but, you know, I've been known to put salsa across an omelet, but it's when it's a Mexican omelet. That's not the same as ketchup.
Can I tell you what else he did?
Yeah, please.
I've been emailing this lovely lady that I went to high school with.
Yeah.
And I emailed her last night, and I told her that Mason was coming over today to help me clean out the roof and trim limbs and everything. So she sent me an email this morning, and I was trying to answer her, but Mason was here. So I wrote a little thing, and Mason got on there and started doing every other letter in capital letters. And I said, don't do that. She's a retired school teacher, taught fifth grade. So she'll laugh. Sure enough, she answered me back and said, funny, and the caps didn't bother her. But she just said to him, just keep Duncan off the roof.
Seems like good policy.
So I've been the groundsman. We trimmed up the redwood tree really good, and then we burned off the branches out here. There's still a little bit left. I've been tending the fire, and then he'd been cleaning off the roof on the house. So he's finishing up that project right now. And I think I can get him to do one more project before he goes home.
What's that going to be?
Oh, bring a load of wood around the front porch. It's been damn right cold at night here in California. It was 26 degrees last night.
That's kind of brutal.
I know, you don't feel for me, but...
No, that's uncomfortable. I mean, I'm actually... the heater is not going in the fabulous Horn Studios at the Magnificent Kincaid Mansion right now. And it is a pleasant 65 degrees in here. I'm almost, you know, when spring does arrive, I'm going to have to go out and, I don't know, find an air conditioner somewhere because the old one died last summer.
Well, that shouldn't be hard to do.
Well, it's just a matter of, you know.
It's just a wall unit, right?
Well, yeah, it is, but there's a bit of a, not logistical, but a spatial complication now because it's where before the old washer and dryer that died 10 years ago was a stacker unit. this one is side by side, and the dryer is blocking access to the window.
Okay.
So that complicates things. I gotta sort out exactly
how. Move, you know.
Yeah, they do, but there's not a lot of room for the dryer to move in. It is where it is because that's where there was room for it.
Oh.
You get you one of those air conditioners where the exhaust part goes into the window and the other part rolls around.
You know, that's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, they're pretty. I looked at them.
But the only problem is then in a humid place like this, you have to deal with the condensation.
Well, there's that.
And if you're not right on top of it all the time, it winds up all over the floor, and drains down here toward a whole lot of electronic stuff.
Oh God, no!
Hey, Robin,
don't do that.
Robin.
Yes, Steve.
You can. Hey, how are you? Hey, Scott. Hey, Sparky. You can actually. Hello. I used to have one, and it actually had a an attachment that attached to the inside of the hose that went in the window, and it's a like a little hose that it shoots the humidity or the water that condenses out the window.
That's worth investigating.
With the exhaust.
Hmm. Of course, I'd probably have to cut another exhaust hole next to the one for the dryer. I don't know.
Or no, you just have a window, right?
Yeah.
You just put it in the window. It has a little holder. The hose goes has a thing on the end of it that you screw onto it. It has a little like metal thing that's about maybe 4 or 5 inches high, and it expands depending on the width of the window, and you plug the exhaust hose into that, and you put that in the window rather than the ass end of the unit. You don't have to cut another hole.
Okay, that might help.
Now, I will tell you this, though. My experience is that those are not among the most efficient ACs.
No, and I was wondering if it would actually, because when we get into the teeth of winter, or summer, mm-hmm. When we get into the teeth of summer, even with the old window unit going hell-bent for leather, it would still get up to 80 and 85 in here, because the studio area has a lot of glass, and it faces south.
Oh, jeez.
They've got a lot of different models with different BTU levels.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you could get it pretty damn chilly in there.
Yeah, you could. I'm just saying, I mean, as a general matter, air conditioners have gotten more efficient. But I'm just saying my recollection, of course I could be wrong, is that the portable ones, that's the kind that Scott's alluding to, those are not the best on the efficiency front. But it's definitely something to look into. And you know, you don't have to you don't have to drill a hole in your wall.
Get a Y connector exhaust hose.
Well, and I thought this was going to be a discussion of the attack on Ukraine, and it turns into plumbing today.
Well, I had a question about that, if you want to switch gears.
Do let's.
You remember Adolf Eichmann?
Well, I never knew the guy, but I remember, yes.
He was living down in Argentina.
We used to play pinochle. No, what?
Yeah. Well, the Israelis decided, oh, let's go get Adolf and bring him back for trial. And they put him in a trunk. They trussed him up real good, ball gagged him real nice, blindfolded him, and sat him on a little stool built into the trunk, and there were little stirrups for his little Nazi feet. And they the trunk had a lot of nice stickers, ports of call all over it. And they carried it out to the plane, put him on, and off they went. Why can't we work out a deal like that for Mr. Putin?
And let it be the head of a country?
Let it be a stuffy, well, just, hey, listen. This is may be your first rodeo, but I know that we, in our capacity as a government, have knocked off several heads of state. Who am I thinking of? Well, there have been a few. We tried to get Castro several times, and that.
But we did pass a law that said we won't do that anymore.
Well, and even if we didn't, how many? I don't know that we've ever actually knocked off a head of state who can, who has nuclear weapons and who could destroy our country.
Well, that would be a first.
And
I can
what
dream.
You get behind him, so you knock off Putin, the vice president. Would he be worse?
No. There would just be chaos there.
Yep, man. Chaos is not good.
Look, the bottom line is this: is there's going to be a World War III. I hate to tell people, but we are heading towards World War III.
I so intensely hope that's not true.
I hope it's not true. And you want to tell you what really told me that? Kyiv is not as far west as he's gone. He has bombed, they've bombed the town Lviv, which is only 370 kilometers from Poland.
Right, and I heard Admiral James Stavridis earlier today on MSNBC, and I take this stuff with a grain of salt, but the man has sat in rooms where these sorts of things were discussed. And he said the real problem arises, or the real risk arises, and anybody, and you know, maybe it's not particular to him, anybody with a working knowledge of history, it knows what one fuck-up with a cheap pistol can do in Sarajevo and how that played out. But he said the risk arises when some Russian helicopter or jet pilot screws up on, you know, just exactly whose airspace he's in and winds up, you know, killing some NATO troops in Poland by mistake, or some dipshit in a MiG decides to take a pot shot at a naval vessel in the Black Sea and we in turn bring him down. And then the game is on.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, an attack. That's why the Poland thing, and it's not just Poland, but Romania. Romania, those are two, you know, NATO countries.
Estonia?
Yeah.
Latvia?
We're 370 kilometers. What's that, about 230 miles? Separate where we know hostilities are and bombing or attacking a NATO country. And then we're in, like you said, Robin, Article 5 territory.
An attack on one. And yeah, just so people know, an attack on one is an attack on all.
My question is, after the Ukrainian ambassador to the United Nations got through last night pointing out how Russia has violated the tenets of the United Nations, why not today on the General Assembly floor, was there not a motion to strip Russia from all its obligations, et cetera? In essence, kick him out, but leave him sitting there, sort of like MTG's position in the House of Representatives, and simply neutralize Russia in the United Nations and get the United Nations to 100% condemn what Russia has done.
You can't.
The case was
made last night. It won't happen.
You can't do
it. The case was made last night. Why not?
It was made.
They're a permanent member of the Security Council, and to kick anybody off the Security Council requires a unanimous vote at the Security Council.
They built their own trick box. And China won't do it. China's
not a permanent member, I don't think.
I'm not sure, but the thing is, no, I think they are.
Russia is. That's the bottom line. They would veto that.
Right. I mean, it's a built-in flaw to a system that's almost nothing but flaws. I mean, it couldn't happen.
I don't see how we avoid war.
Well, we make it. Maybe we don't. But if it's going to happen, it has to happen because there is an act of provocation. And if there's it also has to happen as absolutely the goddamn last resort. That's why, I mean, the sanctions that have been imposed are stronger than any sanctions that have ever been imposed anywhere, with possibly the exception of what we did to Cuba, what we did for, 50 years to Cuba. And frankly, I saw that Norwegian seizure of, and by the way, because the goddess of irony is always paying attention, the oligarch yacht that was seized was called the Ragnar. Ragnarok? Anybody? And apparently it had been involved in some espionage related to cutting an undersea communications trunk.
Wait, has anyone articulated what exactly this? Okay, sanctions, great. What exactly constitutes a successful result from sanctions resulting in a cease of hostilities and never going to war? What is success?
In this particular instance, success is Pootie packing up and turning around and going home. That's the only definition of success.
And leaving those so-called independent areas of the Ukraine and relinquishing his declaration.
Which in some ways I think lends a certain amount of validity to the statement by Larissa Alexandrovna that Ralps directed us to earlier, and that is make it so painful for the oligarchs that they realize that they're never going to be so much able to go to a title loan company until he's gone. You know, one of the things that I heard pointed out and made sense to me is that in 1964, the Politburo were the ones who shit-canned Nikita Khrushchev. That structure does not exist within Mother Russia anymore. Putin is a dictator in the truest sense of the word. It probably didn't sound like much to us, but when he had to drag his head spook, kicking and screaming towards saying that he supported Putin's invasion, and the guy tried to evade. Well, the guy's probably worried about finding a horse's head in his bed,
or his wife's head in his bed.
Yeah, something, or suddenly catching a bad case of vertigo.
and falling out of a window
into a pile of poop on an old Soviet sedan somewhere below. I mean, I know we make jokes, and I know that information is susceptible to manipulation in times like this. But we've known what a punk ass thug he was for ages. And we let him move in, as Tommy the Tuber said. We let him take Crimea in 2014, and it didn't slow him down. But the thing is, he's been able to steal wealth for himself from his country for 20 years, and so he's got a lot squirreled away. And what we have to find out is where it's squirreled and take it from him. I mean, how are they funding this war? They can't deficit spend like we can deficit spend. And then there's the so-called SWIFT banking consortium that all of Europe takes part in.
The world. I mean, that's the backbone of the financial.
Right. And so throwing him out of that, which has not happened yet because it's going to take worldwide cooperation, throwing him out of that. Is one of the final kicks in the teeth, because as of today we have sanctioned the two largest banks in Russia that hold fully 1/3 of its cash assets. It's not getting a lot of coverage, but there is some coverage. There are runs on ATMs, not just in Ukraine, but in Russia. And there are no more dollars to be had in Russia. And this is one of the weaknesses of an oligarch system. We complain about oligarchs here, but we also have the most stable currency on Earth. I mean, there are pressure points, there are leverage points, and as to 2014, we just never used them. Well, it looks like now we're going to use them. But the thing is, as you tighten the garrote, you make, well, the most dangerous rat is a cornered one. And these are the kind of things that keep policymakers up at night.
And you know that our intelligence folks have a pretty good sense of his state of mind and how he's wired, and we don't hear a lot of that, I'm sure. I mean, it would scare the hell out of us if we knew just who we were going up against. And as far as his state of mind and as far as the sanctions go, he may be so wired in his head that a normal innocent thing could be seen by him to be some sort of provocation. And then where do we go?
Can somebody mute?
Yeah, the banging and, you know, I don't know who's doing that.
That was me, my bad.
No worries.
All right. Historically, there has been one permanent member removed from the Security Council in the history of the United Nations. And that was when Taiwan, who was the permanent member from China, in 1971, the United Nations recognized that the People's Republic of China was the only legitimate government. And in that case, then China took over the permanent seat and Taiwan got kicked out of the United Nations. I realize it's a pipe dream, but what would happen if the General Assembly assumed and made the assumption that when the USSR, who was the original Russia in the Security Council and in the UN, is no longer, the USSR no longer exists, and therefore, pick a country of the old Soviet socialists, I'd like to pick Ukraine, and claim that Ukraine, the government of Ukraine, is the legitimate leader of what used to be the USSR, and put Ukraine in as on the Security Council and demote Russia today to a nothing status in the United Nations, such as Taiwan.
One difference, Roger. How many nukes did Taiwan have?
Well, Taiwan, the government of China escaped to Taiwan and played that game. Is that what you were talking about?
No, I'm talking how many nukes did Taiwan have? Zero. How many nukes does Russia have? You can't just go kicking a nuclear power around. The UK is, well, not, you know, the sun does set on the British Empire now, but the UK is still on there because the UK's got nukes. France is still on there because France has nukes. We're there because we got nukes, and we're us. Israel's not there. Israel has nukes, but Israel won't admit they have nukes. Pakistan and India have nukes, but
in 1945, there was only one country with nukes.
Yeah.
but there were five members of the Security Council as permanent members.
You talking about 1948?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
You're talking about
when the United Nations got created.
Yeah, the United Nations opened in San Francisco, I think, in 1948.
Well, I know it was San Francisco, but I wasn't aware of too many things in 1948.
I was aware of exactly nothing. But I mean, all of these things are the bugaboos of trying to create a world body. I mean, it's hard to talk about the United Nations without talking about the failure of the after World War One, League of Nations. And the League of Nations wound up being toothless. Because a man named Henry Cabot Lodge threw a fit because Woodrow Wilson wouldn't kiss his pale pink ass. Again, another moment where a Republican fucked America and the world. You know, Woodrow Wilson, for all of his faults, had his stroke while he was crisscrossing the country begging us to join the League of Nations so that we could prevent the next one. Because it wasn't the war to end all wars.
Well, I do think the discussion of the General Assembly floor would be very entertaining to at least have the discussion on whether or not Russia should be removed from the United Nations. Whether they have nukes or not. I mean... If something isn't done now, Russia is going to deploy those nukes this year, next year, or the year after. If Putin stays in power, I don't see any change. Because if somebody in a MiG, as you point out, or launches a ballistic missile from the Black Sea or some goddamn thing and attacks NATO... It's World War III. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it may as well start over a negotiation in the United Nations. I guess I'm being kind of fatalistic in this whole thing, and I'm glad I've got my 70-some-odd years of life already in. But something's got to get done.
And the question is what?
It's the ultimate game of Jenga. The wooden pieces. And if you pull one, something totally unexpected can result from your pulling the wrong one.
Well, I have to interrupt here because just moments ago, or seconds ago, this arrived in the last minute, a statement from Nitwit Nero.
If I were in office, this deadly Ukraine situation would never have happened.
That was on the news earlier this morning. He was on a bullshit program with Laura Ingraham.
Yeah.
And Laura Ingraham had to correct him that the...
You shouldn't be telling me about that amphibious assault. You shouldn't even know about it, Laura. The fact that American Marines launched an amphibious... No, sir.
It was a Russian amphibious assault. Oh. But I got a clip here. I got a clip. This is worthwhile. You may have already heard this. Ron and Raleigh alluded to it. Robin. Maybe you're not giving Vlad enough credit. After all, he's never called Tucker Carlson a racist, and he hasn't tried to overthrow Christianity. That refers to this clip. Ugh. Hang on. Wait a minute, Tucker, shut up. And after I run it, I'll explain the importance of it.
Since the day that Donald Trump became president, Democrats in Washington have told you have a patriotic duty to hate Vladimir Putin. It's not a suggestion, it's a mandate. Anything less than hatred for Putin is treason. Many Americans have obeyed this directive. They now dutifully hate Vladimir Putin. Maybe you're one of them. Hating Putin has become the central purpose of America's foreign policy. It's the main thing that we talk about. Entire cable channels are now devoted to it. Very soon, that hatred of Vladimir Putin could bring the United States into a conflict in Eastern Europe. Before that happens, it might be worth asking yourself, since it is getting pretty serious, what is this really about? Why do I hate Putin so much? Has Putin ever called me a racist? Has he threatened to get me fired for disagreeing with him? Has he shipped every middle-class job in my town to Russia? Did he manufacture a worldwide pandemic that wrecked my business and kept me indoors for 2 years? Is he teaching my children to embrace racial discrimination? Is he making fentanyl? Is he trying to snuff out Christianity? Does he eat dogs? These are fair questions, and the answer to all of them is no. Vladimir Putin didn't do any of that. So why does permanent Washington hate him so much?
Yeah, why? Well, okay, here's the snapper, what Mark Twain would call the snapper.
Permanent Washington?
But here's the snapper. This is a clip that was actually taken from the Kremlin's RT. Taken from RT Air, complete with Russian subtitles for every word that Tuckio Rose uttered. And it's not like this doesn't exist. There aren't examples of this in American history. This is Charles Lindbergh asking, well, I don't see what's wrong with that, Mr. Hitler. I mean, this is what was it called? The American Bund? That had 25 or 30,000 people crammed into Madison Square Garden in the 1930s?
Yep.
This is the daddy of fat, dead Tony Scalia, who ran the Benito Mussolini fanboy club in the United States.
And didn't the term useful idiot... Isn't that of Russian origin, useful idiot?
I do believe.
No, but it describes Carlson pretty well.
Well, it is yeah, useful idiot is an old Soviet term. By the way, Todd's trying to get into the conversation, and I don't have any way to add him here. Todd, if you want to ring in on the stress line, 844-843-4676. I used the iPad for the interface, and for some reason or another, I can't merge a call on the iPad like I can on the main production computer. But if I'm using the main production computer, I also can't do things like play that clip. So, Todd, 844-843-4676, 844-843-4676, and you can join in the conversation. We'd love to have you be part of it. And, of course, because First Amendment, Tuckio Rose here gets to say all this stuff. They hanged the real Tuckio Rose, and they hanged Lord Ha Ha, but that was in the aftermath of a war. That was in a martial law, something approaching a martial law situation. They were hanged as war criminals. We're just going to keep, you know, Rupert Murdoch, not an American, will just keep giving the great big money check to Tuckio Rose.
I got a question, since you mentioned Lord Ha Ha. Would Tommy Tuberville be known as Lord Hee Haw?
You know, you beat me to that one.
Oh, damn. Great minds.
I think we've got a new name for Senator Potato Farm.
Lord Hee Haw.
Senator Hee Haw. Hee Haw! I found Trudeau, you met another, and you were gone. God, the things that live on my brain, it hurts us. Let's see, a little bit of email coming in. Flavio says, Carlson's Putin never called me a racist. He's insidiously parroting Muhammad Ali's the Viet Cong never called me that word. I fucking hate that SOB. And by the way, who was it that wanted to ship all those jobs to Mexico? They sent all our jobs to Mexico. Well, the various unions begged for NAFTA not to be signed. There was complaint about giving permanent free trade status to China, but they were ignored. And by the way, the decision to do both of those things was bipartisan in nature.
By the way, Ruth Murdoch became a U.S. citizen in 1985.
Oh, did he? Maybe.
New York City.
Maybe we should reconsider that.
Well, he
had the only way he could buy
only
Fox
U.S.
News.
Citizens. Yeah, when he bought what used to be Metromedia Television, which became Fox.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that. You're right.
Fox Broadcasting. Simpsons and all that.
But, you know, I guess, and I guess the right wing looks at this as payback. Because there was a contingent of us, like I said earlier, who hotly opposed the attack on the innocent people of Iraq. And this is payback that, you know, well, we're not going to support, this either. Putin's a good boy. He's a good old fellow. It's just so wearying. Oh, and by the way, here at 19 minutes before the hour, we are deep in a deep, 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 deep hole. We are still $366 away from not having a four-digit fundraising goal for tomorrow. Anything is good. Anything is great. Because, well, the bills that keep this program on the air are due. And I like for this program to continue being on the air. Because I like these conversations. I think they're valuable. You know, by the way, just off to a separate topic for a moment. I spent a lot of time last evening talking about the assault on families in Texas, promulgated by Greg Aspott and the indicted felon Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. Well, they've got a nasty bit of business going on up in Michigan. It started when allegations were made public that the former Republican Speaker of the Michigan House, a guy named Lee Chatfield, was accused of engaging in sexual assault against his sister-in-law, and West Virginia takes the shit for this. But he was alleged to have begun sexually assaulting his sister-in-law back when she was a child. And while Maggot America is burbling and grunting about things that don't exist, well, Representative David LeGrand from Grand Rapids, Michigan, a Democrat, has introduced in the Michigan House House Bill 5767. And that specifically allows evidence to be entered into a trial in which the accused is said to have groomed his victim. And I think we all know what grooming is. It starts small, works up until the sickening pedophile perv is rutting away. And quite often, the accused will claim consent, especially if the person has reached adult status. And this would allow a refutation of that. It's described, grooming is an emotional connection that makes the kid feel like special in the eyes of a teacher, coach, a clergy member, or some other adult who occupies an important space in the child's life. 90% of kids who are sexually assaulted before their 18th birthday know their perpetrator, and often very well. And so, Chatfield, the accused in this case, his 26-year-old sister-in-law said he had been sexually abusing her beginning when she was 15 years old. And according to her attorney, they went on until July of 2021. Well, here's where the need for that law comes in. Chatfield's pettifogger said that it was a consensual affair that started after she was an adult. So it's actually nice to see something positive coming out that would actually protect children, as opposed to putting targets on children's backs in places like Texas Stan and Alabama Stan, etc. Ron in Raleigh says, yeah, they gave Tokyo Rose a necktie party, but Mildred Gillers and Rita Zucca, a.k.a. Axis Sally, lived to old age. Mildred died in 1988. Well, and in addition to Lord Haha, there was, oh, God, who was the poet? He was the mentor to T.S. Eliot, Englishman. And he the was,
guy, pardon? The guy that was in St. Elizabeth's there for a while?
Oh, come on. He wrote the cantos. But a bunch of people went to bat for him so that they wouldn't make him swing. Oh, and by the way, thank you to Women Standing. We are now down to only $300 to go to make sure we don't have a four-digit fundraising goal tomorrow. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. We are now down to $290 to go so that we don't have a four-digit fundraising goal tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Was it Ezra Pound?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Ezra Pound, thank you. And thank you, Kevin, in Massachusetts. Well, you know, I was gonna remember that at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's how it always happens.
Yeah, it's really awful because you wake up and you Ezra Pound, son of a yeah.
Robin, I have a question.
Yes. Hey, Kevin.
With this invasion last night, and then we know Putin invaded Crimea and is making excursions into the Ukraine, but this invasion felt different to me. I think what you said about it being the prelude to World War III, I wonder how many people in this group feel the same way, that this felt different, and we're in for a world of shit.
I don't feel that way.
Why?
They're going to take him out.
What?
His own people is going to take him out. Putin.
Yeah.
The oligarchs. They warned him not to do this. I think he's got terminal illness. And he doesn't give up.
Well, it's really instructive to read Tom Nichols's article at the Atlantic, in which he says that he may have gotten to the point where he's just not all home.
Yeah, a little bit.
In fact, I'm looking for it now.
Lights are on. Nobody's home.
But then again, we went through 4 years of a guy with the lights on and nobody's home, and we wouldn't even use the 25th Amendment. We had a mechanism. They don't have a mechanism. You know, all they've got is a stiletto or a bullet behind the ear. And he is, to say the least, he is bunkered up getting to him. Well,
what's to say if Putin knew he didn't have something we don't know, he didn't have long to live, and said, fuck it, it doesn't matter what happens in the world, I'll be gone anyway. What's to stop him from doing more?
Exactly. Thank you, by the way. Thank you, Todd. That takes us down to 278. Holy cow. Greg. Thank you, Greg. Greg, up in the frozen north of North Dakotistan, we're now actually okay. So we started out at 1066, and we've knocked it down considerably. We will not. So we will not have a four-digit fundraising goal tomorrow, Greg. I don't know what to say. Thank you. And now I'm all lost, but we're looking. So much ciphering, but. We're looking at we're looking at a $900 fundraising goal tomorrow, because we're down to about $600 for catching up with the deficit this evening. That's tremendous. I can't thank you enough. Thank you. Huge thanks. Let me, Todd asked for me to send him the stress line number. Let me bring him in, because I think Todd's got something to say on this. Hey, Todd, is that you?
How's everybody doing?
Hey, Todd.
Hey there. Oh, boy. Well, you know, it's very sad listening to Washington Journal in the past few days.
I was wondering if you'd taken one for the team.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah, it's bad. And I don't know why I don't have this number, though. I guess the stress line changed. The number I had for the stress line is different.
Well, this is just a toll-free number.
Okay. Well, thank you for getting back to me, too. And that's good news with Greg. You know what I mean? Good things happen.
Yeah, thank you so much, Greg. Greg didn't have a lot of sympathy for... Sparky talking about it got all the way down to 26. He said, up here in North Dakotistan, we've been double digit below zero for the last week.
Good God.
Yeah. And, you know, you really get the wind chill factor up there, where there's nothing to slow down those winds billowing out of Canada. Greg Ralph says, woohoo! Yeah.
See, that's that kind of weather where you put a blanket over your heavy coat. I mean, and it works. I'm telling you. When you see, you look like a Native American going on the Trail of Tears, but it works.
Well, Greg is indigenous.
See?
So Greg probably has 10,000 years worth of genetic memory of how not to freeze to death.
Man, there's a certain temperature. I know this is what Scott would say. This is not what I call, but. You know, after what, like about, I don't know, it's like about 18 degrees, it's hard to feel any colder. When the wind blows and it just takes all your body heat away, and your body has to start all over, you know, to warm your clothes up, that's bad news.
Hell, since I started on estrogen, that happens at 60. I get cold now. By the way, Ron in Raleigh asks, why is the number 1066 important? Oh, I know, Ron.
Oh,
that would be Billy the Bastard invading England, the Norman conquest.
Oh. Ron is funny.
Ron,
but,
yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, go ahead. No, Washington Journal.
Norman.
Okay, I know, but
World War III boobs, man.
Steve.
Steve.
Robin. Hey, Steve. God, has the Washington Journal been insufferable? Oh my God,
man.
My goodness, man. These right wingers, they're just off the hook, man.
They have, I'm gonna tell you, Putin has already won this war on all fronts. With so little outlet. Right? He's got us fighting with each other. He got the weirdo mentally ill fascist elected once.
I ain't fighting with nobody.
To change people's opinions about Russia, because this is just absolutely amazing. These people have been softened up so much. You know, they're willing to say, oh, well, poor Putin. I mean, where is this shit coming from? Are we that stupid collectively? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You want a straight answer to that?
No chaser.
Well, you talk about the fact, you know, Trump and again, I can't forget the sons of Confederate veterans who wanted to link up with their Russian counterparts because white is white is white is white. And then subject line war, Matt in San Francisco wrote a little bit ago, on the lighter side, today's school kids can add back the duck and cover drills with their active shooter drills. God bless America.
And Todd, how many times have you heard the only reason Putin's doing this is because Biden's so weak? He's senile. How many times have we heard that in the last 2 days, you know?
For this morning? Way too many, Steve. Way too many. Yes. See, look, man, you are absolutely on point. This is, and they don't get it. It's like this, this whole, you know, it's so much. I don't think that they critically think. I mean, if we could, the last guy, I just got to go. They don't. I got to go on a short rant because it's just so much, but I'll keep it short here.
Rant.
All this time when you know who was president, little by little, all he was doing was weakening our country under the guise of strengthening America. Only because he was saying what they wanted to hear, but and making them believe that his actions were going to benefit. You know, so you whittle away the State Department until it's like nobody in there but Pompeo and a couple of secretaries. So you got no diplomacy. You fire a bunch of federal workers because they're just lazy. You know, they make too much money, which all of that is false. You talk shit about NATO until everyone believes it. Well, yeah, he's right. You know, we need to pay their way. Blah, blah, blah. There's a reason they're there. You know, like they've just forgotten world history somehow, or they never had it. I don't know. And then, you know, but honestly, this started a little bit before Joe the Plumber, but Joe the Plumber just kicked this shit off. When you had these people saying, well, I don't need them to tell me what to do. I can figure it out. And what that was really about was a bunch of white males saying they didn't like that black bitch teacher they had in school, you know, because she made them work, you know, study. And if they didn't, they failed. So they figure they know better. They don't need, you know, people act like they don't need to listen to educators anymore. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this mess.
I think you're right.
I mean, look, you a white man. See, and remember, education. Well, right, not anymore. Right, but right, that's true. You're a minority now. But you know, this shit has gotten out of control. This shit is out of hand, and I don't hear anyone saying anything about corporate greed when they talk about this inflation.
Or how about the imagery of the fat Russian prancing around the White House blocking their press out while they did secret press conferences back to Russia?
Well, yeah, there was that. There was that too. And you know, along the way, I want to go back to this because I've heard it myself. Because I don't talk about it, but every now and then I tune in and just pretend I haven't. I can't. I can't. But at any rate, the Biden is senile business. I mean, I've heard people say that to my face. Well, he's senile. And if you look at him and say, well, I mean, okay, you think he's senile. Tell me how. Because I had 4 years of listening to words like covfefe and person, man, woman, camera, TV. And I'm wondering how you're getting senile out of Joe Biden when he can actually string sentences together, even though he's got a stutter. Whereas President Adderall, Jesus Christ, I mean, that person, man, woman thing, one of the funniest things I've seen today was a tweet in response. Oh, my God. A tweet in response to Nitwit Nero saying that the Marines had made an amphibious landing in Crimea or whatever it was, and Gospodja Ingram had to correct him. No, honey, that was the Russian. Uh-oh. And somebody said, no, wait, somebody described that on social media as person, woman, Aquaman camera TV.
So we can expect, if Joe Biden is senile, we can therefore expect Trump to go on with Laura Ingraham or whatever talking head he wants and explain to us how he got beaten by like 8 million votes by a senile man. Boy, that'll be good. I might even tune in for that.
Well, I mean, you just want to look at, wait a minute, are you watching Trump reruns?
The best of.
Robin, may I add, great show tonight. And kudos to everybody on the porch. This is old school. I'm going to donate $20 and call it a challenge or whatever you want. But
oh, bless really your heart, show. Steve.
Sure.
Thank you. Like I said, I didn't. It wasn't planned. It just sort of occurred to me that this was warranted.
Hey, Robin?
Yes, Steve.
Were you going to say something about fundraising? I'm sorry.
Well, no. So Steve's put a $20 challenge out there, and that will get us down. That'll get us down below $600 this evening, and it gets down to about $540, which is amazing. Go ahead.
Do you honestly engage these people?
Yeah. Did candidate for office?
Oh, okay. But, like, I don't. If somebody were to say something to me about Biden being senile, my response would be, who?
I mean, I've mentioned the guy in Sheets. Unbelievable! That guy. And it'll never happen again. But still, you know, you think of witty repartee you could have offered. I know. That Trump was president of the United States for 4 years? Unbelievable.
Oh, I have to give myself a couple kudos real quick.
Okay.
I went on the, got on the, went to get on the subway today, and the the New York Pig Department, they have their little table where they do random tests. I mean, random, searches of your bags that they claim that they say that, well, it's actually been litigated, and they said, yeah, can we see your bag? I said no, and it was funny that the surprise on their face was like what? And I said, yeah, no, you can't. I said, well, do you have a warrant? And then I said, you know what, you don't know anything about the Constitution. And I had to leave the station, but I just walked a few stations away and then got on the subway. I felt it was my little victory of telling the cops to go piss themselves.
And the number of people who don't know they have the right to do that.
And there's a sign right there that says you can refuse. You just have to, you know, they say, well, you can't, you have to leave the station. I'm like, okay. Left the station, got in a bus, went about two or three stations down, got on the train, came to work. I fucking hate
that. Cops. That reeks of fascism, Steve. That reeks of fascism. Right. That's really.
Of course. But that's what we've been dealing with since 9/11. Everything's fucking
9/11. May we examine briefcase?
What I should have. You know, what I may start doing is take a sandwich or something and leave it out and then have it get all maggot infested and gross and then just take that with me now.
No, that's bio warfare, Steve. Don't be cute.
I am bio warfare.
Well, speaking of bad cops, I have a clip here.
Oh, I'm going to correct you. Speaking of cops.
Okay.
It's redundant.
Thank you. It says things over and over again. It repeats itself. It's redundant.
from the Department of, what was it?
From the Department of Redundancy.
Yes.
Redundancy. No, this story comes out. I don't know why we get Michigan twice tonight, but I'll bet you Greg knows what I'm talking about when I say the sugar bush. I was privileged once upon a time, far too long ago. One of these days, I hope to get back up to northern Wisconsin. I'd love to. Such wonderful people. Made me so welcome. But I have had a taste of maple sugar candy. And oh my God, it's heavenly. It's, I mean, it's just so goddamn good. To have pancakes that have had cooked wild rice folded into it, and then served up piping hot with warm, freshly made maple syrup is for the ages. Well, making maple syrup is a 10,000+ year old tradition among the indigenous peoples of the upper Midwest, particularly among the Anishinaabe people. So we find ourselves in Detroit, where indigenous Anishinaabe people have a thing that they do in Detroit, and the tapping of sugar maples for their sap, an area where the sugar maples grow is called the sugar bush. And these indigenous people had a permit for what they do. And so they hold an event in Detroit and teach people how to tap sugar maple trees. And the city of Detroit has the Detroit Sugar Bush Project. And it's a way of transmitting ancient communal knowledge down the generations and reawakening these traditions in a place like Detroit. And they've had it for the last 3 years, and there's been no big deal. And they start a fire, and they take the sap that they've gathered from the trees. I have a maple tap that was given to me, and I treasure it. And it does no harm to the tree. And
Trump was there.
He what?
Take the sap. Trump was there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you should be. But it's laborious because you tap it, you hang the bucket, the sap drips into the bucket. Then there's a big shallow pan, and you pour the sap in it, and you boil the sap until some of the water evaporates, and that's how you wind up with maple syrup. And so, like I said, for the last 3 years, they've had this ceremony, and the city of Detroit even officially recognized it. The city of Detroit signed off on a memorandum of understanding. The organizers even went so far as to get a burn permit so that they could build the fire to boil down the sap. And so, lo and behold, they're doing this a couple of days ago. Completely peaceable. No problems. And all of a sudden, the biggest gang in town shows up. I'm talking about the cops. And it's not just the Detroit Police Department. It's the Detroit Police Department Gang Enforcement Division.
What?
And told them that they would have to disperse because they had an illegal gathering. Fortunately, it was recorded.
Like, look at this shit. They're out here interrupting our ceremony.
Y'all ain't got our stuff. And they're standing there in their green SWAT gang uniforms. They're all gunned up, and they said, if you don't put that fire out, wrong accent, I know, we're going to arrest all of y'all.
Our stuff together. We're practicing ceremony. I have a federal tribal ID, and we have something called the J Treaty.
This stuff is not valid.
It's not valid.
No.
Please explain this. Do you know about the J Treaty of 1746?
That's not law, ma'am.
We have the same law.
What is your law? What law are you enforcing right now? What law are we breaking?
And by the way, By the way, yes, the Jay Treaty of 1794 is law. A treaty has the same force and effect as an actual portion of the Constitution. They are binding upon nations and between nations. They become part of international law. But these goons, and Jesus Christ, they sent a helicopter. Do you hear the noise in the background? There is a helicopter hovering over these indigenous people practicing something that they've been doing for 12,000 years. God almighty.
What law are we breaking? What law is that? Please explain.
Entering park after dark.
What law is that?
Entering park after dark.
That's a law.
It's a Sydney ordinance.
The park closes at 10. They were there at 8:30. And they were citing some sort of Detroit ordinance, even though the city of Detroit had already signed off that this was legal. I mean, this is enough to make you eat dirt and run rabbits and drink pee and put onions in your socks.
City ordinance.
City ordinance, okay. Well, maybe we can have that changed.
And frankly, this goes back to 1978, because prior to 1978, it was illegal for indigenous people to engage in ceremonies like this. But an act of Congress signed into law by the President of the United States, Jimmy Carter at the time, said, no, we're going to stop trying to erase indigenous practices. But apparently that doesn't count in the city of Detroit in 2022. God, I hope they're able to just, I don't know. Would you like to have a tribal helicopter, y'all? Sue them. Jesus.
Robin. Rose, what could be more constructive?
Hold on, Todd. Rosebud Bear Schneider said, we tried to tell them about our sovereignty. They didn't want to hear anything of it. Go ahead, Todd.
All I was, just the way you painted the picture and to hear the video, what could be a more constructive activity? Especially, okay, this time of year in Detroit is dark out. It gets dark early, I guess, because where they are. But still, that is a family activity. It deals with nature. They are absolutely just jackasses. I mean, how much more wholesome? I just don't understand. These people are just, some of these people are just evil. They're just evil.
Plus, they had all the right paperwork, Todd, in triplicate.
Well, that's the kicker. Isn't that something? They signed up, but see, that's exactly why they are a gang. And I'm sorry to get upset when people say that, but it's just the truth from a social science standpoint. They are a gang. You see how they operate. And a gang can be a good thing or a bad thing, but they're many times they operate as a bad gang. And that's not to say that they can't operate as a good gang sometimes.
Well, the very idea of taking a tribal gathering and referring to and treating it as a gang. Oh, my God.
What else are we going to steal from the native from people who were here first? That history, where you wouldn't even they wouldn't even allow the they would make these kids go to these schools, as we've heard about. And totally divorce themselves from their culture. I mean, that's late in the game, though, what you're talking about. 78, where Carter had to say, you can engage in your tribal practices. That is really fucked up. That's just, that save that clip. That is just offensive. That's offensive as shit. I'm done with it. That's all.
And so they tried to cover their butts, and they did not do anything resembling a good job at it. The Detroit Chief of Police, James E. White, issued a statement, said, on Friday, February 18th, 2022, at approximately 8 p.m., remember, the park closes at 10 p.m., Detroit police officers responded to Rouge Park after a report of a fire seen by Michigan State Police troopers from their helicopter.
Detroit Police Department responded to the scene and spoke to the event organizer, who claimed the group had a valid memorandum of understanding to hold a native sugarbush ceremony. The officers on the scene observed an expired MOU and no evidence of compliance with key components of the expired MOU, such as a fire permit and proof of insurance.
They've been doing this for 12,000 years, Chief. I'm pretty sure they've got it down pat, honey.
The officers' actions were only due to the bonfire in the middle of a public park without a permit and was not directed as a means to break up a sacred cultural ceremony.
And then, in italics,
on behalf of the Detroit Police Department, we would like to apologize for the interruption of a sacred ceremony. Chief James E. White said, please don't take our helicopter. I've directed our executive manager of diversity, equity, and inclusion, Mary Engelman, to identify opportunities for our officers to work with the organizers. I'm very proud of the Detroit Police Department for having an incredibly diverse workforce who don't know shit from Shinola about Sugarbush. However, we can always do better to address these types of incidents. It wasn't an incident, you dick. I've been in contact with the Michigan Department of Civil Rights, state and local elected officials, and community members. We plan to meet with Michigan Senator Adam Holler and the Native American community to learn and grow from this situation that we shit all over and ruined.
Okay, I added a few words here and there.
Oh, no one was arrested or detained. Please don't fire me.
God, I'm... Well, you know, at least at least the cops didn't, you know, do anything culturally appropriative or inappropriate. And I guess,
now,
but damn, really?
You or Todd or somebody can clear this up. When in the modern history of Detroit has the appearance of a fire caused such alarm and overreaction? It's a fairly common occurrence.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have broken
who,
up?
Who called in? Did they know who called in to report?
Yeah, the Chief James White says,
when a fire was seen by Michigan State Police troopers from their helicopter.
Those dumb bastards shouldn't be allowed to ride in the helicopter in front of the Walmart where you got to put a quarter in.
Oh, you were due, Scott. You were due. Oh, God. I'm sorry. You just created the
greatest hits, man.
Yeah, you just created the mental image of a big old burly ass skin-headed trooper, all gunned up and he's green and sitting there. I'm riding in the helicopter. Got another quarter.
Wee.
In his beard, sunglasses, right?
Yeah. Oh God, that was quality.
I've created a clear and present danger, obviously, here. I've told the truth. Jesus. But
well, damn.
How far up were they in the helicopter? 1,000 feet?
You know.
If you don't know what's going on the ground, you're not going to have a better view. You see more of the panorama, but you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Okay, well, let's cut them some slack.
I'm not cutting them anything.
No, we'll cut them some slack. So, you know, the Officer Feelgood shows up and you know, along with 9 or 10 of his best buddies and says, oh, what do you think you're doing here? Well, we're engaging in a cultural tradition that our people have been doing for, you know, since long before your ancestors stopped fighting with the wolves, stopped fighting with the buzzards over what the wolves didn't want. But, you know, apart from that, what can we... But it's the fact that these geniuses stood there and argued with them when they clearly could cite chapter and verse on something that the city of Detroit said, go, do it. It's the Detroit Sugarbush Project. This is a good thing for our community. I mean, this is, you know, this is the return of, oh, God, No, it's ponderous, man. It's ponderous. No, this is the return of Officer What's-His-Name from Alice's Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Ponderous, man. Ponderous.
Sure.
I was just going to bring up Obi and all his cop equipment.
Yeah, Officer Obi. Officer Obi got a helicopter.
Hopefully we haven't heard the last of this, because I think somebody needs to follow up on this. I mean, the statement by the police chief or the mayor or whoever the fuck that was, waiting for his ride in the helicopter.
8x10 color glossy photographs with a paragraph on the back of each one.
27 of them.
27.
Find justice. And we have to pick up all the trash.
And disturbing the peace, and they all moved back over to me on the W bench, and we just had a fine old time.
I'm just surprised that they had, well, no. At least they weren't cutting down the green trees and trying to do that, or then the helicopter wouldn't have been able to see the fire for all the smoke.
Oh, wait a minute. I looked up the article online. One of the officers, who would not give his name, was quoted as saying, "You see that maple tree over there? I'd like to tap that." I'll go away.
That's the Gunner.
Gunner. Yep, definitely Gunner. Yeah, and by the way, our dear sister Jude said, still hearing Todd's insight along with others, the dismantling of this country, a methodical focus of negativity. So here we are this night, engaging in our own views being voiced. It's critical in times of duress to express our inside out into the ether. Keep the home fires burning, community, always being especially good to those around us. Night to all, says our dear sister Jude. Thank you, Jude. Our Horn spiritual advisor. Yeah, I mean, if this had been a bunch of white truckers standing around a trash barrel fire, keeping, I'm some heroic American truckers. Nothing, you know, not saying anything about people who drive truck, but you know the maggot ones. Yeah, we're gonna have a convoy down to Washington. I got me one truck here with two flat tires. Breaker, breaker. No, Todd, you said?
Yeah, well, on a first business, on the business end, I hope you can work my anemic contribution into a challenge. I think that would be great if you could.
Well, there's nothing anemic about it. I mentioned it earlier. If you would like to see somebody, well, you and Steve would both like to see people jump in. And so that would make what you sent and what Steve sent would be met by others, that would mean that we were another $32 toward not being quite so terrifying tomorrow. So hopefully folks will respond. Well, yeah, I appreciate it, Todd. I appreciate it so much.
Jesus. Well, look, we all do what we can do, yep. But. Like you just brought up, right? The point you just brought up. These are the same people. I can almost guarantee you the Venn diagram would indicate that they don't see a big deal with, you know, what happened on January 6th.
Follow up on that.
Okay. Well, in other words, yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't illustrative enough. So these folks, they see a fire in a park. It's Rouge Park. I don't know this. I'm thinking it's along the river, maybe where that Ford plant used to be. Who knows? But so they see a fire with a helicopter. But it's, you know, Detroit, Midwest is spread out. Cities are spread out the further west you go. The big, you know, land-wise. But investigate. You know, just don't go, oh, shit, there's a fire. You know, you have people on the ground. You have a radio. Send somebody over there. Send your community guy over there, something, or community person, and see what's going on before you start acting crazy. All right?
So yeah, then they get see to the scene. And when people talk about defund the police, this is kind of what they're talking about. It's not take away their helicopter. It's have somebody on staff and devote some resources to not just screwing up from jump.
Exactly. Reallocation of resources. It's not sexy, but it's meaningful.
Right.
not defund the police. But you see, that's critical thinking. People are just too simple. They're simpleton.
Yeah, Matt in San Francisco says, with regard to the sugar bush ceremony, well, I suppose if it was a cross burning, the SWAT team would have joined in. Yeah, I'm guessing that.
Oh my God, he read my mind.
I'm guessing the gang enforcement division doesn't show up when it's a gang of maggots trying to overrun the state house of the state of Michigan up in Lansing. I mean, say
a lit up cross is a light that guides them. That other type of light,
the second cross from the right.
Can't have none of that now.
Oh, I sang. Fuckers. Sorry.
No, you're a good singer.
I didn't realize you were hearing impaired.
What?
I didn't realize. Huh?
How's that? Hey.
What'd you say?
Come again?
Scott had his Sanka. You had your Sanka tonight, Scott. Did you have your Sanka?
My did you say Sanka?
Yes.
Oh, I don't drink that shit. It doesn't have caffeine. Never mind.
Oh, I thought you were decaf.
No, okay. That's me.
Oh, no.
That's you.
No.
Yeah, that's me. And I used my little, this is an unpaid product placement, but I love this thing. It's called a Bobble Press, P-R-E-S-S-E. I got it on Amazon. And it's a little portable French press. And it's got a permanent, very fine screen, so I can take a couple of scoops, put it in there, put in 16 ounces of boiling water, leave it sit, press it, and it's you know, just to go. It's fantastic. And it's so handy when I don't have time to, you know, do up a whole bunch of espresso the hard way the little Nespresso capsules or the Virtuo capsules. It's just kind of quick and dirty on the way out the door. And I had a cup of that this, and it was so good. I had it earlier when I was doing prep. And I mean, that thing is for anybody who really wants it, because like not crazy about Keurig. And right now with the price of a can of decaf Cafe Bustelo, this stuff's a real bargain.
May I make a coffee recommendation, Robin?
Yes.
And you can get it ground or you can get the whole beans. Check out, I think it's called, let me look on the package. I think it's called Happy Belly. It's the Amazon store brand of coffee. I've been, until Steve in New York sent me the coffee care package a while ago, I was using that coffee, Amazon Fresh coffee. And you can get it ground or you can get it in bean form. It's pretty good, and it's not as pricey as other coffees.
Sounds nice. My search is all, I make good real coffee for Annette, and then I make whatever I can manage in terms of decaf for me, because I just can't cope. Kevin and Tracy, thank you so much. We are now down below. We're down below $500, well below.
Damn,
toward $400, trying to catch up with fundraising, because, you know, the last day of February is Monday. So between tomorrow and then Monday, we're getting very close to being within three digits to just finish the month of February, and that's fantastic. So, thank you.
I always felt that February was a rip-off month anyhow. It's 3 days short. We should get a 10% discount on your mortgage or anything you pay monthly.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and it's the shortest, longest month of the year.
Yeah, February ugly. Yeah, no doubt.
Climate change is so strange. Annette told me today, you know, we had a couple of days of warm spell, you know, got up towards 60. And there's a certain eagerness of life that one can note. It was a couple of weeks ago that I heard the so-called first robin of spring. He was up in the tree just peeping away. I'm like, too soon, Betty, too soon. And then yesterday, Annette heard the first peepers. And the peepers just lift your spirits. You know that it's coming. You know that life insists on renewing. And so, you know, as of Tuesday, and it's neat because Tuesday will mark a full 16 weeks since the surgery that gave me my life. And things are just, they're going, in terms of my healing, it's just amazing. So the coming of spring, I said a few weeks ago that maybe I timed it wrong, but I don't think I did. Because I'm going to feel really, really good as spring arrives. And I'm so excited for it.
Are you going to be walking on air, Robin?
Very nearly. I was just checking the weather to see to see what it was supposed to be like around here come Tuesday the 1st. High of 55 degrees and partly sunny skies. I think I've got just the outfit.
Well, you know, March, though, you've got that lion-lamb dynamic. I know it holds true everywhere I've lived, except here, maybe.
Well, and this is looking like it may be lambish, which means we could get a blizzard at the end of the month. But, you know, that's so subjective. Well, is this a lion or is this a lamb?
Well, getting back to your timing, I think your timing was impeccable because if you're going to have downtime, it's better if you already hate the shitty part of the year weather-wise, why not just lump it all in together and be miserable about a number of things? Because then by the time spring actually arrives, and what is it, the 21st of March, 20th of March?
Yeah.
You're ready and raring to go.
And of course, you know, seasons being what they are, I mean, it won't be fully trustably decent around here, and it's still a temperate rainforest. But you know, I think that I posted some video a couple or three years ago. On the first day of spring, I was just full of myself and went driving down into the New River Gorge down at Thurmond, and it's a long and winding road, and it's beautiful. But there were snow flurries. There was snow on a rhododendron is a beautiful thing. They're hardy, resilient plants, and they've got these broad, green, waxy leaves, and the snow will cling to them so that you know just the outline of the leaf will be green, and there are these chuckling streams that were still quite full that run down into I think it's Dunloop Creek, which empties into the New River. And it was freezing cold, but by God, it was the first due day of first day of spring. And that first day of spring, that the vernal equinox just makes you feel more alive. Sorry, waxing poetic. My bad. Is this one of those awkward moments in the conversation?
It's not awkward. We do not deal with dead air. No dead air. No. We don't do that. Go ahead, Scott.
I heard a siren in the background. I didn't know whether it was my ride or what the deal was exactly. But that's the only downside that I've found about California is the seasons are crazy. You don't really get much of anything except maybe for the depths of summer. Long about August, late August into September, and even into October, it's hotter than fuck. But the rest of the year, you just can't count on it. Like, we're supposed to get rain during winter. We haven't gotten anywhere near the rain we need down here, you know? And then you got your wildfire season, then you got your mudslide season, and it's cattywampus. I'm telling you. That's the weather. Now here's Ace with sports.
And so much, so much for Scott and the Weather Center.
Yes. With our little matching ABC Channel 7 in the circle blazers. Anyway, I just, It has been a good show.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, since you brought it up, what would happen if I got some nice, like, center-cut pork chops and turned them into, like, schnitzel and then put the... If I was going to make act as if I was going to stuff a pork loin, use kind of same mixture on that with that, and make them smaller because I'm going to have a party here soon, and I'm thinking about doing that, and everyone can have, you know, I don't know, they can have what they want, but it will be smaller portion. I don't know. You think that will work?
I would guess.
Well,
I don't know.
Oh, pound, no, to pound, yeah, like pork loin, pound it out flat.
Well yeah, but right, but it's center cut pork chops because they've been on sale. Like I bought a bunch of them. They were on sale.
Well, they're center cut, but do they have bone?
No.
Okay, no. Then pound them babies out. Mm-hmm. Put your food handling gloves on. Do the wet hand, dry hand thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do a mixture of egg and milk. I am so partial to that daggum Fairlife milk. God, I love that stuff.
I've been here ever since you told me about it and I tried it. That's all I'll drink.
I mean, it's a lot more expensive. It is far superior, and it stays good in your fridge a lot longer.
Yep.
Hmm.
And the 2% tastes like whole milk, and the whole milk tastes like half and half.
Okay.
But beat an egg and then stir it.
Bless you.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't get to the button in time. But then stir in some of that milk and put your salt and your pepper and stuff in it. And, you know, get the with the wet hand, get the pounded out schnitzel and then cracker meal or those seasoned panko breadcrumbs,
mm-hmm.
and have like a quarter of an inch of oil in your skillet, your iron skillet,
mm-hmm.
and get the oil nice and hot and put it in there and then turn it and whew, perfect. Heavenly. Maybe some grated fresh Parmesan. Not that crap in a tub, or that crap in a bottle.
No, the good stuff. Yeah, the good stuff. Yeah, that see the Parmesan. I don't know what it is, but that Parmesan goes well with pork. It really does. It has that sharpness.
Well, or grate on some of that Kerrygold Dubliner. Mm. Dubliner.
I can't. He won't make it because I'll eat it all. Oh God. Oh, that's too funny. But you know that sounds pretty good, but you know when you talked about the just now the quarter inch of oil, this is I'm saying this as a middle aged person now. I have perfected this chicken sandwich, right? It's fried chicken breast, but it's pan fried in short oil, a quarter inch or less, just enough to get it done, right? And then it goes on a toasted onion roll or a Kaiser roll with bacon and cheese on top. But the secret is to dredge it in mayonnaise, seasoned mayonnaise. You see, because that's oil and egg.
Okay, so you mentioned mayonnaise. Tracy isn't here to go, ew, yuck. I know she would, and I understand why. But I saw an article in of all places, the Wall Street Journal, and it was before the Super Bowl, said, how to kick your Super Bowl party guacamole up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
Mayonnaise.
I've been doing that. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, just I mean, you don't go crazy, but like a tablespoon of mayonnaise to like three avocados worth of guacamole.
Exactly. It carries flavor.
And it makes it creamier. And you can do the same thing like... I'm not so crazy about the Lipton, but to make your French onion dip with the Knorr French onion soup mix,
mm-hmm.
if you mm-hmm. use like two thirds sour cream to one third mayo and whip it all together and then put the mix in it and stir it up, and the same thing ranch is mayonnaise and buttermilk for God's sakes,
mm-hmm.
but your French onion mm-hmm. dip, and if you if you whip in a tablespoon of mayonnaise into it, because I tried it and it works, and it just makes it creamier. It makes your guacamole creamier and smoother, and it adds that little bit of tang and that little bit of extra different kind of fat. Hell yeah!
Well, I've been doing that honestly. Oh. Yeah, I have been doing it with my guacamole. I didn't even know about it. I just did it naturally. I said, wait a minute, this needs a little bit of mayonnaise to make it fluffy and carry the flavor. And next so, you know, I'm on board with that.
Sandwiches. Next time you make grilled cheese sandwiches, instead of butter on the outside parts of the bread, use a little layer of mayonnaise.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah, a little bit of mayo instead of bread on a grilled cheese. You'd be astonished.
Instead of butter.
Yeah.
You got to have bread on the grilled cheese, Robin. Come on now.
No. That's what I said, on the outside of the grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Never mind.
See, Scott, you're ordering something now, because when you make, just like you're making a regular sandwich, toast the bread to make your sandwich.
Yeah.
But then you put it in a nonstick pan, you know, with just enough, you know, so it doesn't stick. And you let that cheese, let everything melt, you know, just like you're at a deli. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But you were talking about weather. It was 82 degrees here today.
No.
You know, we're going to burn the fuck up. I'm just saying, man, we're about to burn the fuck up. And these mugs down there running around crazy in Miami, they better get their shit together. They're going to have to. It's going to be like Venice. They go, you know, the bottom floors of those buildings, they're going to be underwater. It's going to be like.
Well, I don't know if you heard, I don't know if you heard Miss Terry on the program last night, but she was talking about, yeah, we're up in the high 70s down on the Gulf Coast now. Winter's over. Azaleas are blooming.
Yeah, my azaleas, man, everything's coming out. It's a big, I hope we don't get another frost, but it's just hot. It's already hot. Everybody's, you know, the air is, one minute you got the air on, next minute you got the heat. But it's coming. It's already over, man. But this is the new reality. We're jumping all around, but I don't know. What is this going to do to our food supply?
It's going to fuck it up, because the insects that do the pollinating aren't adjusting as fast as the plants are adjusting. And a lot of the crops that need the bees to pollinate them, like all your squashes and all of those, and any of your fruits, they're going to flower out before the bees are out. And
yeah. Speaking of whom, Roger, in the bathroom here the other day, yesterday, I saw one of those great big terrifying, really mean, scary red wasps. And that's early. That's early for here. And I just looked at it and said, "Listen, I won't bother you. You don't bother me." She was probably hunting for Sally the studio stink bug. No, I don't know if they. I don't know.
Well, I was pruning some beetroots yesterday, and the flower buds have already swollen out beautifully, and we had a real warm spell. Then we had a temperature down to 17 degrees last night or the night before, and at least they haven't flowered yet. But I haven't seen B1, and the fruit trees are just about ready to start showing color. The hazelnut trees all have their really long golden tassels hanging off of them, which is their flowering, and haven't seen B1.
That's worrisome. Oh, by the way, a quick update. Vlad Putin basically threatened nuclear annihilation against any European nation or any nation that would try to intervene in his invasion of Ukraine. Well, France responded. The foreign minister of France said, Vlad needs to understand when he starts threatening to use nuclear weapons against NATO countries that NATO is a nuclear alliance too. But then he said, but, you know, NATO's not going to lead any military intervention in Ukraine. Which is a little bit devilish use of it's so funny. The English and the Americans in the early days of this country, particularly the English, and I learned this from Dr. Bill, of course. The English used to complain because the diplomatic language of Europe was French. And the English complained that every time they thought they had an agreement with the French, they'd find out that the French that was used to express the diplomatic idea didn't mean quite what the English thought it meant. And so this Reuters story, and I'm quoting here, the foreign minister said Putin needs to understand that NATO too is a nuclear alliance, but he ruled out NATO-led military intervention to defend Ukraine. Can you find the deviltry in that phrase? He ruled out NATO-led military intervention to defend Ukraine. Anybody? Bueller?
Could be otherwise led.
Bingo. Oh, NATO's not going to lead this military intervention, but we're going to intervene like a motherfucker. But the Ukrainians are going to lead it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not leading an intervention.
Serious question.
And so Putin's over there going, fuck, I hate French.
I know time is short, but I'm stuck on the part about the timeline involving the oligarchs who are going to invite, who are going to show Mr. Putin the exit. What kind of timeline are we looking at? Because that, I would think it's going to have to happen sooner rather than later for the sake of all of our nerves and the future of the planet.
Well, CNET has published in the not too recent, not too distant past, CNET has published satellite images showing the Russian invasion of Ukraine as it happened. There wasn't a lot of satellite imagery because there was a lot of cloud cover in the last 24 hours, but Maxar satellites, which is not the same as the Mazars accounting firm, just throwing that in for the fun of it, Maxar satellites earlier in the week showed Russian troops building up resources along the Ukrainian border. And of course, if you've seen any of the video earlier today, there's one that shows a Russian missile striking an airport near Kyiv. And of course, it was necessary to try to take those airports so as to try to stop the arrival of weapons into Ukraine. Not the best strategy, though, because that means that if we want to continue to supply the Ukrainian military, we'll probably have to do it over the road through, say, Poland, which is a member of NATO. And that makes more likely the kind of fuck-up that former Admiral James Stavridis was talking about this morning, where they screw up and they wind up in Polish airspace, or they accidentally missile some NATO troops, and then shit's real. But everybody just assumes, and I think that's why Putin threatened it, that this conflict has to become nuclear as a matter of course. It doesn't. The Russians invaded Afghanistan, and nobody fired any nukes. The Russians took Crimea. Nobody fired any nukes. They brutally put their boot heel down on Chechnya and Georgia. Nobody fired any nukes. And so if we remain committed to a no nuke policy, that means he has to be the first one to fire one. And while he may be nuts, the question is he that nuts? And that takes me back to something I was looking for earlier and finally found, and that's the Atlantic article. That's the Atlantic article by Tom Nichols. Its headline is Putin Chooses a Forever War. Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor said earlier this may devolve into one of those things that makes even the Irish look up and say, well, this seems a bit excessive, you know, over the course of a couple of generations. What Tom Nichols writes is Putin, in a long speech full of heavy sighs and dark grievances, made clear today that he has chosen war. He went to war against Ukraine in 2014. Now he has declared war against the international order of the past 30 years. His slumped posture and deadened affect led me to suspect he's not as stable as we would hope. He had the presence not of a confident president, but of a surly adolescent caught in a misadventure, rolling his eyes at the stupid adults who don't understand how cruel the world's been to him. Teenagers, of course, do not have hundreds of thousands of troops and nuclear weapons. And he points out that he has a unique or curious understanding of history. Remember, Vladimir Putin was asked once what was the worst thing that happened in the 20th century. Now, take a moment. Anybody? What was the worst thing that happened in the 20th century? World War II? Holocaust? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah?
Nagasaki, Hiroshima.
Nagasaki, Hiroshima. Rape of Nanking. But no. Vlad Putin said the worst thing that happened in the 20th century was the breakup of the Soviet Union. So, he said that...
nurse a grudge much?
As a result of Bolshevik policy, Soviet Ukraine arose, which even today can with good reason be called Vladimir Ilyich Lenin's Ukraine. He is its author and architect. Jesus.
I totally believe that. I absolutely believe that. Like,
I would like to find the actual video because I'm trying to figure out if Nichols is writing metaphorically or if he's writing literally, because he says, for most of the speech, Putin was drinking one shot after another straight from a bottle of pure Soviet-era moonshine. That sounds like it must be metaphorical. He accused Ukraine, for example, of developing nuclear weapons, a play right out of the old Soviet handbook. When Kremlin leaders would accuse the former West Germany of developing nuclear weapons to serve their revanchist plans for war. That was the excuse for attacking Chernobyl. Which isn't a going concern, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. So, he may not be screwed all the way down. He said the international sanctions against him for invading another sovereign nation amount to blackmail. And Nichols points out that the old Soviet Union used blackmail on an almost daily basis. And of course, you know, it speaks to his nationalist paranoia. To restrain development of Russia. And they will do it, as they did before, even without any formal pretext at all.
You remember that scene in the war room in Dr. Strangelove where the Soviet ambassador gets the Soviet president on the line to talk to President Merkin Muffley?
Yes.
And he gives like a whisper, a stage whisper, be careful what you say.
Be careful, Mr. President. He's drunk.
Yeah. Jesus, it's funny in the movie, but in real life,
right? It ain't a documentary, and wasn't supposed to be identified as such.
Jesus. Well, the oligarchs need to get on the stick here and take him in hand, if it's possible.
Well, but you've got to get to him again. He is literally in a bunker in the Kremlin.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
See. Let me ask you guys this, because to me it appears that he is ruminating. Like, and we all understand he wants his area of the world to be back like it used to be. He wants the Eastern Bloc again, right? Romania, Czechoslovakia, you know, all those countries together. You can see that, because those were his formative years, right? Those are his glory days. And if he is, in fact, like sitting around ruminating and drinking vodka straight, because that's what's happening. You know, and this guy's off. What the fuck, man? I don't understand this shit. This is bringing down the whole. Once again, though, this is Trump's fucking fault. Partly.
This is his baby. For all we know, some of this was birthed in that secret meeting in Helsinki. you know, and you can bet your last dollar, Todd, that that Putin mumbled that same paranoid bullshit at Trump in Helsinki, and Trump just said, "Yeah, I understand." Yeah. And that's why Trump comes out and says, and answers the question, that infamous question, "Mr. President, do you believe Vladimir Putin more than you do your own intelligence agencies?"
Yeah.
I mean, that's pick any president you want. It's unthinkable because it's impossible. He was so blinded by his own avarice, his own greed, his own desperation. I mean, he was. We know from the first goddamn impeachment trial that he was ready to sell out Ukraine in exchange for a fucking hotel in Moscow.
And there's the added benefit for Trump for low these 10 days, 2 weeks, however long it's been, the buildup. Who have we not been talking about in the headlines?
North Korea.
Getting a break because we've been too fucking busy trying to get our heads around this thing, which at this point is still way more open-ended than I care for it to be, now that I really think about it. Because it's like...
Scott, we don't even know what types of documents he sold to our adversaries yet. It's too soon.
He took boxes and boxes and boxes to Mar-a-Lardass.
Yeah.
And who knows how many copies he sent out.
Man.
And by the way, just like I said, oil jumped up above $100 a barrel today, which was one of the goals of all of this. And guess what else happened? Hours after the declaration of war, cryptocurrencies jumped in the toilet and erased over $150 billion worth of value inside of 24 hours.
Oh, shit.
Bitcoin is presently at $35,730.95. It's off $33,000 from its all-time high of $68,789.63. It fell 7.42% today alone. Ethereum is down 9.23%. And there's no reason to think that that won't continue. And I suspect part of that may be because people who are into that kind of thing realize, well, they'll probably hack the Sleazy Bear or whatever the name of that Russian outfit is. Will probably hack the shit out of Bitcoin.
Cozy Bear.
Yeah, I like Sleazy Bear better, but you know.
Sleazy Bear. Well, that's more appropriate. But you see, you just a light bulb just went off when you described that. You see, just like Trump, Putin. He knows he can't win playing fair. So just like Trump, he's going to wreck the whole board, the whole risk board. You know, we all played risk, right? Just turn the whole fucking board over because he's on the bottom. And he knows he'll never get to the top. So fuck the whole game up. The game is our lives, the world economy. He's fucking everything up because he's a loser. This is fucked up, man. This dude is out of control. And that Chernobyl shit? I mean, that's nothing to play with. I heard earlier on when you were talking about that program. That was excellent. That program, really. I mean, that series, God, that was intense. That was like fucked up. Ugh.
Has anyone said how bad the leak is yet there? Is it spreading?
Scott, speak into your phone, please.
Yeah, I don't know. This was news to me when Robin spoke of it, or whoever brought it up earlier. I was not aware of it because I've been out of the loop today. But see, where is Chernobyl geographically in Russia? Is it in this in Kiev or
it's in like? Ukraine?
Yeah, it's in Ukraine. Yes, it's right outside.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's beyond scary.
It is right out. Well, let me slow down. Yeah. That's why it was such a big deal, because that was the breadbasket. That was the breadbasket for the Soviet Union. They were like, we're not going to have anything. We're not going to have any food.
See, I thought it was
in the
northwest, northeast corner somewhere, way up towards Siberia.
No.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, see?
Oh, Jesus, that's crazy. See, that's nuclear terror.
See?
Whoever ordered that.
That fucker's off the rails.
Whoever ordered the hit on that facility cemented up as it is, and they couldn't do a really great patch-up job without dying for the cause. Jesus, that is really scary. That's beyond scary.
And for instance, the sarcophagus looks like it's about twice as tall as an airliner hangar.
Jesus Christ.
And the president of Ukraine today said that that Russian troops had destroyed it.
See, now, as I recall with Chernobyl, there was one cement encasement that was a rush job and didn't hold up, and they had to put in another one, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody look that up, because I'm pretty sure I'm remembering that.
No, there were two castings. There were two pouring. I'm just saying this because it concerned me so much. I didn't miss a beat on this. I really didn't. And yeah, there were two castings. It was so hot, you know, they had to wait.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had to put some more concrete over it.
Just to give you an idea of the location, it looks like it sits hard by the river Dnieper, and it's roughly north-northwest of Kyiv by a very slight distance, and it sits on what appears to
be
the Belarusian border.
Well, now it's making sense then, because didn't the fire facilities in Kyiv, weren't they like first responders when the accident happened? Because they were the closest major town, city. I seem to remember that. I don't know. I'll have to watch that movie again.
Although it is 60 miles north of Kyiv.
Oh, that's
it. Is in Kyiv Oblast.
My Lord.
You know what, people? We don't even know how bad this is. They're not going to tell. Use your damn.
Well, one of the first things that Putin did was to try to disable their air defenses and disable, because we saw the photographs of the burning radar installations, the mobile radar installations, and they also cyber attacked them to shut down any kinds of communications coming out, in the hope that they could then go forward and commit their war crimes with impunity.
Okay, so he's a madman. Okay, so you know what? You know what? If we can do drone attacks on those brown people over there, I don't like this at all, what I'm saying, but I'm just saying this guy's out of control. He's been ruminating. He's isolated. He's not happy. And he's got too much damn time and money on his hands. And he's just fucking the whole world. No, we can't have it. So we just can't.
If we attack, how long before he goes nuclear? That's the worry.
Is that Kevin?
Yeah, that's Kevin.
Yep. Kevin, my brother, what's up?
Not much. Just posing the question, because I don't have a good feeling about it.
What terms is he on with the generals and the people who oversee the buttons, the keys and the buttons for these nukes? Because you would have to think, I mean, their job is to follow orders, but they're only supposed to follow, at least the military that I'm aware of in this country, can only follow legal orders. And I don't know that that would constitute a legal order if he went nuclear under these circumstances.
Well,
Scott, what is your favorite phrase?
Say it, Scott.
Screwed. We're all screwed.
Okay, well, we got to wrap things up, but Mike in Cascadia just sent this along, saying simply, have you seen this two-minute clip, Robin? No, I haven't, and just looking, I don't know, I've got a bad feeling about this. The subtitle begins, Dear President Vladimir Putin, oh, God, and then I checked out her Twitter bio, Anna Lynn McCord. Actress, human rights activist, founder of the Love Storm, anti-human trafficking ambassador. You know, nowadays, anytime I see human trafficking, I get a sneaking suspicion that I'm about to hear something from a cue ball. Let's find out.
Dear President Vladimir Putin, I'm so sorry that I was not your mother. If I was your mother, you would have been so loved. Held in the arms of joyous light. Never would the story's plight, the world unfurled before our eyes, a pure demise of nations sitting peaceful under a night sky. If I was your mother, the world would have been warm. So much laughter and joy, and nothing would harm. I can't imagine the stain, the soul-stealing pain that the little boy you must have seen and believed, and the formulation of thought quickly taught that you lived in a cruel, unjust world. Is this why you now decide no one will get the best of you? Is this why you do not hide nor away shy from taking back the world? Was it because so early in life, all that strife racked your little body with fear? If I was your mother, if the world was cold, I'd have died to make you warm. I'd have died to protect you from the unjust, the violence, the terror, the uncertainty. I would have died to give you life. Oh, dear Mr. President Putin, if only I'd been your mother. Perhaps the torture of unwritten youth would not within your heart imbue a script to such fealty against that world that you thought was so cruel. Perhaps you would hold dear human life, and on this night, instead of Mother Russia, you would call me, and I would set your mind quite free with the love that only a mother can give, and only a mother can take away. When holds, she doesn't harm at bay and leaves her boy for the promise of a man. Whatever your story, Mr. President Putin, I can't imagine how it feels in your heart, but I know if I was your mother, that would be a start towards the awareness of what a powerful being of light you could be if your mind was only free from the violence you've seen when you were just two or three. I cannot believe I was born too late in a different place when I would have loved you so, watched you play wherever you go.
Okie dokie.
I mean, wait a minute. Is that fetus worshiping? Is that fetus worshiping?
I don't know what to make of it. Just kind of think, you know, doesn't understand even remotely
what was going on.
Her name is Anna Lynn McCord.
She's got a website.
Oh, she's got a blue check mark on Twitter.
There's amulets and stones and healing herbs. We don't live in a what-if world. I mean,
she retweets Elon Musk. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it comes from the right place, but
yeah,
there's a certain just incomprehension of who he is. I mean, dear Mr. Chancellor Hitler.
Yeah.
I mean, am I being harsh?
No, I don't think so, because there's a certain type of mindset that never mind won't let any negativity in. They won't let reality in. I mean, reality-based reality. I'm talking about the good stuff, the top-shelf reality. And I'm sure her motives are pure and her thoughts are sincere, but Jesus, lady, it's a little late for sweet talk.
It's just, well, as one person responding to the tweet said, tone deaf.
I don't even think at this point that Jill Stein could talk any sense to him. But maybe it's just me. I don't know. I don't.
Meanwhile, there is video of Russian people gathered in Pushkin Square, less than 1,000 meters from Red Square. Alexander Venman said they're on. They know the risks of challenging the regime. They're on the street in spite of major personal costs. Lots of video of people marching through Moscow. I mean, this is great, but it just seems to be so incomprehensible of what the realities are. You know, you want to post a video grieving about people dying? Post a video about the people who got cruise missiled in Ukraine today. Post a video about the, my God, the LGBTQ community that's living in fear because his anti LGBTQ army is on the march and they are dead people walking. Oh, but Pootie, if I had been your mama. Honey, it doesn't matter what kind of mama you were in the Soviet Union he was raised in. I mean, this is. I don't know what Mike in Cascadia was thinking. Maybe I'm hearing this entirely wrong, but it just seems. It seems so discordant with the realities on the ground. Worrying about Pootie when people are bleeding and dying and being incinerated and blasted into what Malloy calls a red mist. I mean, this is great as far as it goes, but my God, it's just so abjectly ignorant of the reality. Dear Mr. Chancellor Hitler, if only I had been your mother, you wouldn't have. Oh, too much. Too much. If I got it wrong, Mike, if I got it wrong, let me know. But if it made you want to eat dirt and run rabbits and drink pee and put onions in your socks, let me know. I mean, I have such abiding respect for the legitimacy of nurturing impulses, but damn, the time for nurturing and writing poems to Pootie. Dear Mr. Manson. Or maybe citing Hitler and Manson just proves how wrong I am. I don't know. I mean, I'm as anti-war as anybody can be. But I don't think you can chant your way out of this one. You know, the reason that Gandhi was successful in India is because eventually the people of the United Kingdom were capable of being shamed. If Gandhi had been going up against Putin, Putin would have had him kidnapped, had his dick cut off, stuffed in his mouth, and had him dumped on his own front step. It's just, and I have no patience. I'm so done with all the idea, you know, with all the pooty coddling that went on over the last several years. And I can't help but think about Jill Stein cashing that RT check and sitting there at the same table with this guy.
Oh, he's a nice fellow.
And all the people that she dragged along down into that sewer. Maybe this pisses, I don't know. But all I can do in this time is speak the candor of what I understand to be factual. But I gotta get out of here. I think I need a little ibuprofen now after that. But that having been said, thanks for a great conversation. Friday on the front porch tomorrow. Listen to the women in this community. I implore you not to leave. To please participate. Get into the fray of this conversation. Tired of being alone in this. And those voices are necessary and needed. Your voices. Because there's always a possibility of getting this wrong. That we get this wrong. I'm still fighting off the privileges that I spent a lifetime with. I'm still fighting off the bellicosity. Most of the chemistry that made me that way is gone now. But a half century of attitude is harder to displace. Thanks to everybody who got us down to within striking distance for the end of the week and perhaps even the end of the month. Thank you all so much. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, so many of you this evening. Thank you, thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks for jumping in on an at the last moment front porch on this day of the overture to the prelude to the what we hope will not be World War III. Thank you. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy with me on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Remember, the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the people of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Now a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your KN95s, your N95s, your booster, your vaccine. Because, well, it's not over. And who knows what sort of an incubator Ukraine will turn into in the horrors of war. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says, and for God's sakes, if somebody comes burbling toward you, complaining about these sanctions that keep me from robbing my own people, they are blackmail, is what I am telling you, blackmail. Avoid that man like the plague, because he is. Later.